Blog Talk Radio.
Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Low down on the biz and uplift the dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Listen right along. This is straight off the press, the remix, fresh with no prior song.
Oh.
To find y'all with the certified thoughtful.
Yeah.
To get the piece to the feet, it's time to call blow.
Yeah.
The raspberry wind is fragrant, flavorful. Insatiable eardrums, taste the radio. Here can't be beat, the flash in it. Better leave all your doors and all half the week.
Right.
Positive or motivational strategy. Successful guest promoter, self-mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Everyone, I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and of course, you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone out there listening, no matter where in the world you're listening from. Welcome to The Remix. It is March 22nd, 2013, and of course, you know where you are. You're live in The Remix with me, your host, Miss Blue. Wow, I am really, really excited about the time that we're in right now. And so, as most of you know, we are in the spring equinox, and we're also in that time of new beginnings where lots of energy is going on in the planet. Lots of things are starting to come back to life. And that certainly is a beautiful thing, especially those of us who live here in the Northern Hemisphere. For those of you who are living all over the world, I know the weather is kind of doing its own thing as it has been, but it's just good to celebrate this time that we know that really, truly is about really, really having that new beginning. So peace and love to you guys out there from all over the world. So good to have you here joining us live in the forum tonight. Woo! It is Friday night. Yeah. March. March is a interesting month because it has a lot of energy, a lot of emotions. You know, these are things we talked about before. And so it's good to be here Friday night in The Remix doing what we do. I want to give out the phone number for those of you who are out there listening, because there's many ways that you can actually join in and you can listen live right here in the forum. 646-652-2711 is the number to call for you out there, no matter where you're listening at. You can call that number. For our international listeners who's out there listening, no matter where in the world you're listening from, call the U.S. country code and then 646-652-2711, and that's going to get you right here so you can listen on the phone lines. And I see many of you are on the phone lines as well. You can also Skype in, and you can listen via Skype as well. Now, also, I want to invite you guys to come on over because the chat room is open. And let me go ahead and give you some cosmic directions so you can get yourself over. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Remix, all one word, and come on in. If you're a guest and you're joining us in the forum for the very first time, I just want to say welcome, 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 and so good to have you here. There is a link right at the very bottom. All you have to do is click it. It says sign up, and you can tell us who you are, sign up, and come on in. The Remix family is in the house, and they are sure to make you feel welcome and sure to make you feel right at home. So now, I want to remind you guys that the show, we have a first-time Remix family member that's going to be joining us tonight. Brother Reggie is going to be joining us here live in the forum. And so tonight's show, as well as all of the Remix shows, are available for you. All you have to do is come back over to the Remix homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/The Remix, and you can download the show. Now, there's a couple of ways that you can definitely download and you can begin to listen to the show. The Remix is on iTunes, so for all of you who have iPhones, iPads, any kind of iDevices, Mac devices, you can download straight right into your iTunes, and you can get all of the Remix shows. Or you can download it straight to your PC or to your Mac or your listening device, and you can listen to the Remix there. You can download it as an MP3, put it on your players, and carry it with you, as many people do. So welcome, 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 you guys. I'm very excited about the show tonight, and we're going to be getting that started, The Secret and Guarded Text of Ancient Kemet. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Brother Reggie is going to be guiding us on this incredible journey, his personal journey, and really, really giving us an opportunity to look into some doorways in a way that perhaps has never been introduced to you. And so we're going to give him a very warm welcome as we continue. I want to first give our international shout out, because that's always important for us to give the international shout out to our brothers and sisters who are listening all over the world. We get your emails. I'm connecting with you guys in the readings. And so you guys are always like, thanks for the shout out, Ms. Blue. So, and I know sometimes, depending on what type of part of the world you're in, it can be a challenge to get up. So let's go ahead and give those international shout out for tonight. So joining us here live in the forum, international shout out goes to Finland, Denmark, Mexico, Germany, the Netherlands, Australia, Turkey, Nigeria, India, Indonesia, Brazil, the Bahamas, Saudi Arabia, Barbados, Australia, Canada, Egypt, Japan, the UK, always big family in the UK, Australia, did I say that already? Trinidad. I just hope I didn't miss anyone. And a couple of parts of Africa, of countries that I can't pronounce your names, but you guys are out there. So I know Nigeria's in the house. Kenya's in the house tonight as well. And also Amsterdam is listening. So welcome, 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 everyone, to the forum tonight. It's so good to have you guys in the house. By the way, if you didn't get a chance to hear the show last week on the Remix Sunday night, I would encourage you to go back and download the show, because Esther host her first Remix show, and I got so much feedback. You guys love that show. Of course, you know, Esther interviewed me, so that was kind of cool, and it was amazing. You guys loved it, and Esther's going to be doing more shows as well. The Remix is really just continuing to grow, and as we grow and learn here together, and that's what it's all about. So peace and love to all of you out there joining us in the forum tonight. Oh, also, I want to give a shout out. Tonight we're going to be talking about Kemet, and so that does my heart well. And also, I want to give a big shout out, because we started the Kim Business Class, the Know Your Magic Business Class. And boy, do we have another amazing group of brothers and sisters who was in that group. So, big shout out to everyone in the Kim Business Class, Brother Bilal, the brother who works with me, and Sister Manya, of course, and myself, and as well as all the brothers and sisters from around the world that's in this group. We have another amazing group of brothers and sisters, and I couldn't be more proud to be connected with you guys. So I want to give them their first shout out. This is their first week, you guys, and so you all know how that's been, especially those of you who've been through the Kim Business Class. So they are loving it, loving it. And also, don't forget, it's the weekend, and you know what happens on Sunday? The Kim deck goes out. So if you want to place your orders, all of that information can be found right below, right below. So now, let's get ready to get into the share. And I want to talk to you a little bit before we get ready to dance, because that's important. I know a lot of you have been working this week. You might have been at home kind of moving around. I know for me, it was a busy day. I went out and got plenty of sunshine, which is beautiful. I enjoyed that. But I want you guys to take the time right now to get up. That's it. Wherever you're at, I want you to get up out of your seat. We're going to move our bodies and move ourselves around and just connect with this energy, this amazing energy from Brother Reggie that's going to be coming on tonight, sharing with us some incredible first-time information. And really, really, I want you to forget everything that you think you know about ancient Kemet. And come, as we say in the Kim Business Card class, with a clear mind and a pure heart, and just get ready to receive this information. So get up out of your seats. We're going to dance. We're going to raise this energy up, and then we're going to get right to it. We're also going to be doing a Q&A tonight. So I would encourage you to get on the phone lines if you think you may have some questions, and listen that way. Brother Reggie will be taking some questions as well as time permits. We got a lot of stuff to get your pen and papers out, get your blue ink out. You know what I say about blue ink, because you can always tell the original when you write in blue. So here we go, a little bit of baby blue, and then we're going to kind of move around a little bit. Get ready for this energy, and welcome to the remix, everyone.
La 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 la, the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
All right, you guys, here we go. Here we go.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Just very fitting for the information that we're going to be receiving here tonight. And so let's first talk about this. And let's talk about this. And let's talk about this. Let's talk about Brother Reggie, who's going to be joining us here tonight. Because you guys are always in the position as magic makers, as I say, or as a part of the Remix family, to really be in the position to witness history in the making. And tonight is definitely one of those nights. So I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about Brother Reggie, and then he'll come on because I definitely know he can say it better than me. But I want to kind of give you a little bit of his history, his backstory, his life work. Brother Reggie, who is he? He's a seeker, a problem solver, and a servant. This is who he considers himself to be. And he's been guided by his incredible experiences and amazing teachers. Many of you out there, these are some of your teachers, our teachers that we study, we look up to as well. And some of those teachers, Dr. John Henry Clark, Professor Edward Scooby, Dr. Ben, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, and Professor James Small, to name a few. These are some of the great giants as we know them. Part of our culture, part of our history, as we've come to know it in our own walk, are who Brother Reggie has had the opportunity to help him to open up his own personal doorways to his life work. And he's been studying for close to 30 years, Kemet. 30 years. He's been studying Kemet. And so tonight, he's going to be offering us entry points into the mysteries of Kemet and be talking about the mothers and fathers of the light that created the creator, that created the life, as it's written in the soul of Ray. So tonight, here's what Brother Reggie is asking for all of you to do. To forget everything you think you know about Kemet as he began to introduce us and guide us by these very sacred and guarded texts that he has been introduced to throughout his work. So, I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty excited about what this brother has to come on and share. And we can always look at things from so many different angles of light. And so tonight, we're going to get a completely different angle to begin to look at something that we all hold very sacred and very dear to us. So let's go ahead and bring Brother Reggie on the line. Peace and greetings to you, Brother Reggie.
Peace and greetings to you and the family. Hotep.
Hotep. Peace and greetings to you, Brother Reggie. It is so good to have you here in the Remix. I know this is your first time, and everyone is really, really excited and open to hear about your journey and about the sacred and guided text of ancient Kemet.
I'm hopeful that everyone is open mind, open heart, and just ready to look at Kemet from a perspective that that is in front of us, but we there's so many different guides these days. Because Kemet has kind of, many people went on trips to Kemet. Sometimes up to 8 to 10 trips have been in some of the most sacred temples. Some people have had incredible teachers. Some people are spiritual journeys with teachers and with communities and stuff like that. Even with all of that, I want to talk about a particular doorway into Kemet that I think people overlook, and I want to bring people back through that doorway. And
beautiful.
That doorway is entering the Pra'ah, or the House of Life. And I want to describe all of that and the magic and the discipline that is in that house. So
yeah.
I've put my paper up on the internet so that people can follow along, so that they can see it. So if you do have the internet, it's www.secretoftheankh, Ankh is spelled A-N-K-H, .com. So it's www.secretoftheankh.com /blue, B-L-U-E, .pdf. And I'm going to leave this PDF up pretty much maybe for the evening to the morning, and then I'm going to take it down. But it's a way in which you can follow along to the things that I'm going to say. If I speak quickly, I know it's a long show, but it's a lot of information. I don't want to overwhelm you, but I do want to give you some, a little distraction. So, yes, Sister Blue is right. I am a student of Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Professor Small, Edward Scobie, and through them I became students of Dr. Yosef Ben Jochanan and Dr. John Henry Clark together. So I've had a wonderful experience with the elders in service. I wish I could say it was fun, but it has been in service. I want to say that for us, it's only been about 100 years that African people have reconnected with ancient Kemet in a way that will allow us to kind of restore and reconstruct the great wisdom and spiritual teachings. I'm not saying that there are Africans in Ethiopia, Nubia, Nigeria, Congo, Senegal, Mali, Ghana, and elsewhere that don't know aspects of ancient Kemet. I'm
right.
just saying that it's not cohesive. So there are Africans on the continent who are practicing aspects of ancient Kemet, but they're practicing it in their own specific ethnic ways in which they particularly remember it. And I know that there is a lot of information. I have read a book on the Code Ways by Nianga Bora, where he opens up the Jossack, and inside the Jossack are gold weights of ancient Kemet. It could be the Sankofa bird or the Step Pyramid. Lots of symbols and signs. I know that the people of Ghana know about ancient Kemet. I know from Sheka Anta Diop. I know that the people of Senegal have words, the same words that the people of ancient Kemet spoke. I know this. I know also in Nigeria. I know the Orishas in Nigeria are like the Aeneid or the Aeneid, that they are aspects of that in that culture, and so on and so forth. I do understand that.
Yes. Brother Reggie, can you, one of the things I want to say, because this, we'll talk about our connection here, but I think it's also important to really express and share with people that you are a researcher, not necessarily a speaker. So this is truly an honor to have you here on this platform.
Yes, that is the truth. That's the truth. I have largely been in the background, I think, solving problems. I think looking for explanations, rereading text, and digging really, really deep as possibly I can for texts in footnotes and things that complete sentences. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. That's, how can I say, sometimes things just don't sit well with me. They seem to be incomplete, and that we, what we do is that we just rest with it. We just say, okay, this person said it. Like, for example, Dr. George G.M. James, he wrote The Stolen Legacy, which is a very important book, more important than we know.
Right.
A lot of it, what happens is that we just leave it to George G.M. James, and we don't follow the footnotes, and then we don't follow the footnote to the footnotes. And so we become lazy. And so part of my work has been researching, sometimes trying to translate into from German and from French things that that we see in English, or going and trying to find text in the Metanetra that have kind of like disappeared. People talk about them, but they've disappeared, and trying to go to libraries, getting to the library and the book is not there, finding the
book
is not cited right, and like, and the book is in German, now it's not cited right, I can't get the package in half, it's here. Finding things that are completely wrong that I thought was right. So yes, that's, so I'm going to, but.
So let me ask you, and I just kind of want to ask you here, Brother Reggie. So you've been finding out what's behind the story, sort of the substance or the essence to it.
Oh yes. And that's the beauty about it. And so when you say, forget everything that you know, I can clearly say that a lot of the things that we think we know, we don't know. We just, we just recite them, regurgitate them, and then we tell other people, yeah, but that's true because this person said it. And, but there are some problems that we definitely have to solve, and there's some sacred texts that are some of the most incredible sacred texts that we don't use. We have totally missed, and there are things that we're going to talk about. For example, like, the Per-Ankh. I know that it's the mystery school. That's the education of the people of Kemet, right? Or, but we never seen it, or we never seen it in context.
Right, right.
So I want to show people. Or talk about if they can't log on to the computer, but then again, it's www.secretoftheankh.com/blue.pdf. And that is my paper for tonight. And so hopefully some of you can actually do that, see that, and follow along with me. But yes, so I don't always believe what a writer says, and then if I see a footnote, maybe I might follow that footnote.
That's my thing, yeah.
Then I follow it to see where it goes. So, for example, I'll get to it, but you know, like Dr. George G.M. James wrote The Stolen Legacy. It's an incredible book, but if you follow his footnote, he is basically bringing out some of the work by an author named C.H. Vale. Now, C.H. Vale is in the European Mystery Systems. And Dr. George G.M. James, he made, according to Dr. Ben, he was part of the Order of Mystery Systems, OMS. And Dr. Ben is a part of the OMS, Order of Mystery Systems. Dr. Ben created something called the Craft of Amun-Ra. But that is what Dr. Ben created in America. The order that they both are in, or purport that they're in, is in the order of mystery systems. But George G.M. James, here for his purposes, he's bringing out some information from C.H. Vale about the mysteries. So that made me very, very uncomfortable, because then I go and read C.H. Vale, and I say, okay, he's a white, a European mystery system person and scholar.
Right.
But the kind of the buck stopped there.
I just kind of want to interject here because, and you can finish that, but here's the question, Brother Reggie. With your research, why do you think our people don't believe it unless it's in a Western book?
Because of psychological the psychological damage of slavery, and that I do also want to say is that European scholars, they have the luxury and time to actually do research. They are fed by their institutions. They're trained and fed sometimes at the age of 14 and 15. Some of these scholars, they fall right into it. That is what they're going to be. And they're fed. We have 95 jobs. We are basically slavery. So we don't have the luxury of and the time. So lately we become like video junkies. We watch videos. We don't even stop books. That's the reason, but that's not all of us. Now there are scholars and they have written tremendous works. And however, sometimes we're all in our own mental capsule. Like this is my work only, like, and everybody else sucks. I put so much time in it. There's no exchange. There is no exchange. And then if you go to the conference to present, like I just went to the conference of ASCAC, and I was presenting a paper, and I only got 20 minutes. And I have a lot of information. Do you know what it is I can get my introduction could be 20 minutes. It's over. So luckily on your show, I have a little time to lay this bare.
Yes. So what has been your challenge with bringing your findings? What are some of the challenges?
The challenges are enormous. One is that, yes, I have a college education. I have a bachelor's in computer science. I'm a problem solver. I worked in my industry for 29 years. But at the same time, you know, there are kind of like what we call like institutional type of guards. These are the people like if you don't have a name, nobody wants to hear you. If you don't write a book, no one. So you're kind of like relegated to the sidelines. And so sometimes, and then I'm under, you know, Dr. Leonard Jeffries is my he has been my lifelong teacher, and Professor Small.
Beautiful.
If anyone heard them speak, I mean, if I got 5 minutes after they speak, that's people wouldn't know the people that's in the background, and they're like Professor Edward Scobie. People wouldn't know the people that's in the background making this move, and then also listening to the, every word, and then going back and saying, you know, you didn't say that quite right. Listen, I heard this speech 100 times. I know it's for a different audience, but it's the same speech. Can you add something? And you find out that that at some point, new information does occur, but at some point even the greats are basically given the same speech and don't do too much research. That's bad. I shouldn't have said that, but that's the truth. And I think, but saying that is that we are we're at a crossroads. We could dive into ancient Kemet like never before and reconstruct ourselves, or we can hang on to the current stuff that's out there. And I'm asking people listen to what I have to say.
Right. Do you think we're at a time in our history, in our culture, that there's sort of a paradigm shift?
Yeah, so I want to talk about that. I'm going to, if you give me a few minutes, I'm going to catch up to where you are. Because you're an hour, right? So I want to catch up because you are, how can I say, you know more about me in a short period of time than a lot of people. So I have to catch you. And we're in time and space. So I want to say, in addition, even though African people have made great strides in understanding the wisdom of Kemet in the Americas and Europe, there are far too many entry points and far too many so-called experts who I believe have good intentions to a certain degree, but have built full houses of either degrees or spiritual levels where the best of the new knowledge we're just gaining entry to. So meaning that there are full houses of information that people are teaching right now. And and that house is pretty much full, and because they started it, they're not trying to hear too much of anything else that's outside of that box, right? And they're like, who's this person? Like, no, look, why don't you finish these lessons, and then we'll get to that, or, you know, and give someone 5 minutes to add something new. So I want to kind of like suggest to this audience, to Ms. Blue's Remix audience, an entry point in this wisdom and spiritual teachings of ancient Kemet. And that entry point is the Per Ankh, which is the actual name or the sound of the name of the educational system of the people of Kemet. And one of the things I have to do is I have to give the audience something primary, something 3,000 years old, 2,000 years old, right? So that they can actually see what I'm talking about. Now, I want to, first I want to talk, and before I do that, I want to talk about me and you.
Yes.
I want to tell the audience why I'm on this show.
Yes.
It's because of a portal open. It's not by her choice, Miss Blue's choice. It's not by my choice. It's not by our choice. Something happened. Many of you probably don't know that last week was the ASCAC conference, the 30th Annual Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization Conference. It was held in D.C. ASCAC is one of the organizations that Dr. Ben helped bring into this world by his teachings and his writings. Other scholars like Dr. Jacob Carruthers and Milana Karanger took the helm of creating this association to problem solve ancient Kemet, to do it right, to do the meta-nature, to do the sacred text, to look for new discoveries, to publish. But it was all based on the work of Dr. Yosef Ben-Jochanan. And others like Dr. John Henry Clark and our forebearers, but it was largely Dr. Yosef Ben-Jochanan that took us into the aisle, right? By physically, spiritually, or knowledge base. He wrote at least 32 books. And in that process, and took many of us by the hand and put us on airplanes and took us to the Nile Valley and then took us to Aswan and Nubia, then Ethiopia. Many of you don't know that there is a Sim priestess. She is studying under Epidisi Jehudimes. Her name is Sister Latrella. And she basically had a dream, a feeling, a thought that in this conference, Dr. Ben should be there. Now, Dr. Ben has been in a nursing home for a year. This is the second time in the nursing home. And the last time he was out of the nursing home, for the public, I took him to the Gil Noble funeral. And I took him there. Gil Noble was his friend. He's been on Gil Noble's show at least 7 times.
Oh, yeah. I'll say to him, yes.
And Sister Latrella, who is a learned priestess, and she does oftentimes, she assists Brother Epidisi Jehudimas in opening the mouth ceremonies and, you know, really, how can I say, deep rituals related to, get no more deeper than that. That takes a lot of trust from the family and from the deceased that you are going to perform an opening of the mouth ceremony. And she had this vision of Dr. Ben going to this conference in Washington, D.C. And she talked it over with an elder, Sister Catherine Nephthys. And they called me and they said, Brother Reggie, we want to make a request of you. So what's the request? To take Dr. Ben to D.C. Dr. Ben is 95 years old. He's in his winters of winters. They said, we feel that it can be done, and we would like you to do it. And, yes, I have a good relationship with Dr. Ben, and I have a good relationship with Dr. Ben's family, and I have a good relationship with Dr. Ben's attorney, and I have a lot with teachers. So I said I would do it. So it was a three-day conference, and the president of ASCAG is Dr. Mario Beatty. And Dr. Mario Beatty was excited about him coming because he is a young professor, and his specialty is meadow nature. So I said, I will pray, I will try. So here it is. Now I'm transporting one of the greatest elders that we have, and certainly the eldest elder, to Washington, D.C. By train. And trust me, every step is a chore because he is 95. On the second day of the conference, I get a phone call. Listen, Miss Blue is going to laugh. She doesn't know this. But on the second day of the conference for breakfast, because this is our first breakfast day, and I'm trying to figure out what he wants to eat, so we agreed on some toast. He agreed and nearly said orange juice. I helped him with the menu. Now, Dr. Ben can still read, so he's looking at the menu, and I says, well, do you want egg? He says, no. Obviously, he doesn't want any bacon, right? There's no salmon or any fish. So he says, I'll have the berries, the bowl of berries. So lo and behold, Dr. Ben got a bowl of blueberries.
Wow.
Bowl of blueberries.
Wow.
And that's his breakfast. So I was like, okay, so he ate it. They were sweet. He enjoyed it. So we get in the car to go to the conference. So I get this call, and it's from Miss Blue, and we don't know each other, and I am talking to her. But I'm a little stressed because it was stressful getting Dr. Ben in the car. Now he's a little agitated. He's a little upset. So Miss Blue started talking to me, and she made me feel better. And I said, well, I know somebody who really needs to feel better.
Aww.
Well, I said, would you mind, Miss Blue, if you talk to somebody really important and just talk to him for a few seconds? And at the last moment, I said, Miss Blue, it's Dr. Ben. So I gave her to Dr. Ben. So, you know, he's 95 years old. He's used to cell phones. So I gave it to him, and, you know, he's hello. You know, he's not too much in a good mood, right? And she's trying to talk to him. But the most important thing that she said to him was, I love your work, and I love you. And having a woman tell a man in walk of life that she loves his work and loves him, that was enough to get Dr. Ben in a good mood to start his day at the conference. So I didn't give the phone for Miss Blue to talk to Dr. Ben and for her to feel good. I actually gave the phone to Dr. Ben for Dr. Ben to feel good. So,
well, he made me feel so good.
Yes, that's good. I'm glad it's reciprocal. So this, so I said, well, there's something special. So we decided to talk a little bit later, and she looked at a little bit of my work, and maybe she felt the same spirit. And so she called me, and then we agreed. I agreed to be on the show. I do want to say that the next day, Dr. Ben had another bowl of berries, but this time the berry day was blue raspberries.
Oh, wow.
Could you believe that? It was first.
Oh, wow.
Last day it was blue berries. But so I thought, I said, wow, this is, I didn't know at the time that that Miss Blue calls herself Blue Raspberry, but I found out later when I did some research, and I says, wow. Now, I am going to share something with the audience that I only shared with, Infidishi Jehudi Miss, because I asked him to help me translate some of it. And I shared it, part of it, with Miss Blue. Why? Because Miss Blue, she was able to tell me a little bit about herself, and that she does readings, and that she goes on spiritual journeys, and she fits in with this particular, very special, sacred text that most people have not ever heard. So, if you're lucky enough to be on the internet, if you go, the pages are not marked, but if you go a couple pages down, you will see some meta nature, and you can stop. This particular work is comes from Dr. David's work at the Geopolymer Institute, So if you decide to use it or anything like that, you do have to do some research and give that credit. But I have given this this as my research gift to Miss Blue so that she could complete her work. I had told her, well, Miss Blue, I can prove to you what you do is real. And you know, Miss Blue's like, I know it's real, you know. She's like, I know it's real. And I said, Sister Blue, I know it's real, but I want to show you that our ancestors did the same thing that you did and recorded it. And a lot of people, this text is called the Famine Stella, and it's on the island of Sahel. And you know, it's a monument there. It's a big rock that it's written on. It was written in the Ptolemy period, but based on an earlier date. And in short, this text is about the Nosozozer. He's getting ready to lose his kingdom. There is a famine. The Nile is not flooding. It's not inundating. And the people are devastated. And you can look up in ancient literature, Miriam Lichum's, and you can read it. If I have a few more seconds, I'll go and read some of the highlights of it. But in general, basically, Zoser was seemingly falling out of favor. This is the third dynasty. He's falling out of favor with the people of Kemet. And he has no choice, but he has to go to Imhotep. He goes to Imhotep. His high priest, one of the staff of the Ibis. And he says in his way, you know, my man, what's happening, man? I'm going to lose my kingdom. Hey, bro, check this out. Look, I need you to do some research for me. I need you to consult with the elders. I need you to consult with the library, and I need you to journey as far as you possibly can to the natures. Give me a heads up on what's happening. So I know I'm talking black, but you know, I'm just telling you that this is a brothership bond between these two people. Now, the text is eloquent. It don't say it exactly like I say it, but it's more of a serious tone. Anyway, on this particular text, If you go to where I said secretoftheankh.com/blue.pdf, if it goes there, you're going to see some glyphs, and I hope everybody sees it, and I want to describe it for you. On the first column, there is a title, the first yellow circle, and I hope everyone can see it. There mm-hmm. is a glyph of a flag with a kind of a circle, half circle, and kind of like lips, and that is means nature. And underneath it, there is kind of like a tail or entrails, and that is the KH sound. And then there's another half circle, which is a T again, and then there's a determinative, and that means Netiquette. So Zoser's other name is Netiquette, which means divine of body, or God body, or but sacred body, divine body. That is his name. Further down on the glyph, there is another glyph circled.
Yes.
That's his Horus name. And that glyph is Zoser. So it's like the DS, DJ sound, and then that kind of like kind of line with squiggly is an S, and then it's the lips again, which is R. Zoser. So, yay, we're reading Metanature. We are reading Metanature. We are reading
yeah.
the ancient to ourselves. We know right now that Netiquette and his Horus name is Zoser. And Zoser is having a conversation with his lector priest. And that is the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth column. And I have Imhotep name circled. That
yeah.
is the famous priest. Imhotep. His name is circled. We are reading Metanature. We are looking at aspects of Metanature that you can do. Imhotep. So that's the eye sound with the hand. Above it is the owl, which is the M.
Yes.
Right? There's the H sound, which is kind of like some squiggly, like the medical sign. Right? And then there's the circle, a half circle again, which is T. That's Imhotep.
Yes.
That is the famous Imhotep. And now on the following line is something very, very special. The first part, there's two major sections of glyphs that are circled. One is the symbol which they call the matching of the net. And underneath that is the Per Ankh. Those are two of the most sacred symbols in
yeah.
ancient. That is the Shrine of Tahuti and the Per Ankh, the House of the Mysteries, or the educational system. So Imhotep
yeah.
goes into the Shrine of Tahuti and in the Per Ankh, and he, you see the little man, right? He goes down there, and basically there's some action, and he is basically, that action is basically, he is reading the souls of Re. The souls of Re are the records. Now, the records are written. They are, salted with the deities. It is called the Souls of Re, and those are the records. So, yay, we're looking at the probably one of the most primary, important documents of the educational system in ancient Kemet that
yes.
shows us the mansion of the net and the Per Ankh and the Souls of Re and Netiquette and Imhotep having a conversation. Isn't that incredible?
That is powerful, yes.
Now, this whole thing is really about, now, what happens after that is even more important to people who are in the, people who do the work that Miss Blue does and other work, is that Zoser now, he has a, he is, after he gets this information, he is in a restful state. Remember, he's the Nasut. He's the kind of like the Horus on earth. He is the king, and he has done his own rituals, his own consulting. He is resting, and in that rest, in that stages of rest, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that, Kanun encounters. Mm-hmm. He has an encounter with his maker. One of the names of the creator is Kanun. And Kanun says this magical, steals him, lets him know that I'm in control of your limbs. I am your maker. And this is all about because the electric priest had told Zozer or Netraket that the reason why the Nile is not flooding is because you're not paying attention to your ancestors in the south. He gets this because he prays now to the ancestors of the south, and Kanun himself visits him and steals him, and then they have a conversation of sorts, and then the next day Zozer makes a decree about now we must again worship our ancestors in the south. Now, this reading, this is a full, full reading. It's not this is not a fragmented text. This is a full reading, and it's primary information. We don't need a mediator. We don't need Jesus.
Right.
Moses, right? We don't need any of that to know that this happened. All we have to do is, and the text has already been translated. We can translate it to make it better, but it's already been translated by the people who want to control the world. They need this information because this is the information they base their societies on. So, but more important, as important as this dream is, that Zozer now, he does something, again, magical with Kemet. He makes Kemet point to the south because they say this is where our ancestors are. And so this is the people of Kemet saying that their ancestors are from the south. That's incredible.
Yeah.
You won't find this in any history book. You won't find this, and you're going to find it right here on the remix. That's where you're going to find it. And for the first time, where you're going to find it. And this is research. And only you and only a few people have seen this document. And I didn't put the complete document out because I didn't want to cover all of it, but I did want to say that they start to name all of the sacred towns in Nubia, and they start talking about the cataracts and the twin cataracts. And I think that Dr. Ben has his favorite statement that says, "We come from the mountain, the moon, where God happy dwell." And people say, "Well, Dr. Ben is not an issue, Nefer papyrus." It don't matter if it's not an issue, Nefer papyrus, it's in the famine stella.
Right.
So it may not say the mountain, the moon, but it says that we come from the twin cataracts, which fed happy, which is the breast that nourished us all. So, yes, Dr. Ben might have made it more eloquent or maybe read a glyph wrong, but it is this text that does that. So I'm going to move right along, unless you have a question or something real quick, but I'm going to...
I just want to say, give people a little bit of insight that this was so amazing to me. In fact, I will be doing a show on just letting you guys know my reaction from this connection with me and Brother Reggie and this glyph here that everyone is looking at, that this famine stella that we're looking at, this incredible validation without a questionable doubt of the work. We often talk about it because that was really what Reggie presented to me, is that, yes, I know it's real. And now here's proof. Here's proof that this existed. This stella, famine stella, is a full reading. And I can't even, I'm kind of speechless on just what that has done for me and what it has opened up for me. Because as you guys know, in the Remix family, this came right after I did the Hypatia show. And so right that transition of going into the UNC, because I wanted so many new things for the Remix and going to the next level. And so when the connection was made with Brother Reggie, and I asked him about his work and to come on and share, and I told him about my work, and he presented this to me. Amazing. Amazing.
Well, it's going to get even more amazing for you. You watch. So
yes.
Really quick, for the family seller, what Miriam Lichtenstein said is that this thing says, and I read a little bit of it, not everything, but some of the important parts. Your 18 of horns, metric, it was, well, I'll just say there's his title. And he has a long title, you know, South Chief of the Nubians, Yabu,
yeah.
All this royal decree, you know. But he said, it was the morning of my throne. Those of the palace were in grief. My heart was in great affliction. Because happy had failed to come in time. In a period of 7 years, grain was scant. Kernels were dried up. Scarce was every kind of food. Every man robbed his twin. Did you see the drama in this? Every man robbed his twin.
Wow.
Gold. Children cried. Youngsters fell. The heart of the old was grieving. Legs drawn up. They hugged the ground. Their arms clasped about them. This is like the Ethiopian. Remember the Ethiopian famine in the same area?
Yes.
Temples were shut, shrines covered with dust. Everyone was in distress. I directed, even in that grief, the Nosut Nefeket directed my heart to turn to the past. I consulted one of the staff of the Ibis, the chief lector priest of Imhotep, son of Ptah, south of the wall. I said, in which place is Happy born? That is the Nile. Which is the town of the Stinius One? Which God dwells there, that he might join with me? Imhotep stood. I shall go to the mansion of the Net. It is designed to support a man in his deeds. I shall enter in the house of life, unroll the souls of Ray, and I shall be guided by them. He departed, returned to me quickly, to let me know the flow of Happy, and all that other stuff, and then I want to go to the part where he actually, he has a dream, and I want to say, he says, Nasut says, well, no, here's part of all the reading part. When I heard about what was there, my heart was guided, having heard of the flood, opened the rap books, made a purification, conducted a procession of the hidden ones. Made a complete offering of bread, beer, oxen, and fowl, and all good things for the gods and goddesses in Yabu, whose names had been pronounced for me. As I slept, now this is important because these are the things that someone doing a reading will tell you to do, that you, they will guide you to do these things. Whether you do them, not in this case, this Nasut was smart enough to do exactly what he was consulted to do. Then after he'd done that, he says, as I slept in peace, I found the God standing before me.
Yeah.
Propitiated him by adoring him and praying to him. He revealed himself to me with kindly face. He said, I am Khnum, your maker. My arms around you to steady your body, to safeguard your limbs. I bestow on you the stones upon stones. That was not found before. Of which no work was made for building temples, rebuilding ruins, inlaying statues, eyes. For I am the master who makes, I am he who made himself, exalted Nun, who came forth. And I'm going to stop there and say that is what we're doing today for you on the Remix. We are giving you a primary document. We are letting you know that that this stuff is very real, that the work we do is very real, and it shouldn't be taken lightly. So I'm going to leave this section. I'm going to go back to my work, and I'm going to give you more. So let me just click into something else? I've got to click.
Yes. We are live in the remix with Brother Reggie, you guys, and having an amazing share here.
Now, I wanna do something because I know some of you are still hanging on. It does not matter if I tell you that the African on the continent is the species of human. He's like cat, dog, giraffe, monkey. He is the species. And everyone else is a race. The African is not a race of humans. He is Homo sapiens sapiens, the species of man. But it doesn't matter to you if I tell you that, because you have blockage. It doesn't matter to you if this information flowed from Kemet. It doesn't matter to you if the first people to speak and even be able to have a conversation with God was Africans, and that language traveled down north, right, through the Mediterranean into Europe and these other places and across borders, language. It does not matter to you Africans. That was the blockage that we were talking about earlier, Miss Blue.
Yes,
it doesn't
yes.
matter the species. It does not matter that humankind was born in Africa, because we have these other faiths that we don't know that was built on Christianity. I mean, was built on ancient Kemet and that's Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and we believe those things. I'm going to do something for you that I have very rarely ever done, is my original research, and I'm going to do it for you live on the remix. It's on my
wow.
page. Miss Blue, do you have it up? Do you have
I
the,
certainly do. I do.
Okay. So click down. I'm going to show you something. There are some other glyphs. These glyphs are Hebrew. So
mm-hmm.
if you can turn to the page. And when you turn to that page, I figure everyone else got a chance to turn to that page.
Okay. And I believe it is on page 11.
Okay. So I didn't number it, so it's on page 11, but that's where we are. It is in this story in Hebrew with English subtitles that the Pharaoh has dreams. And instead of Zoser and Imhotep, his dreams go to Joseph.
Mm.
Joseph, now who comes into Kemet from Orchaltia, Iraq, is now the only one to be able to understand the Pharaoh, the Nosut's dreams. So this is a rewrite of history.
Yes.
Joseph, in this conversation, the Pharaoh gives him a name, Zaphnath Paneah, Paneah Zaphnath, and gives him a wife, the daughter of the On priest. And I, this is what a researcher does. Let me go and read this thing in Hebrew. This is the birth of Hebrews in Egypt. And let me just
right.
read the thing, Ms. Bloom. Let me just read it. Now, I see the Hebrew, but I'm not comfortable about it. Something about my soul said, you know, Brother Reggie, you better look at this. So I took up the words Pharaoh and On, because I know that those are related to Kemet. And Paneah Zaphnath, I that didn't look like a...
Right.
A name of that I would know, and then the daughter's name is Athanas, and I kind of cut that out, but that was the wife, the Potiphar, the priest, the On priest. His daughter's name is Zaphnath, and for this purposes, I just cut it out. But you can go to the Torah, the Holy Torah, and you can read it, because I'm not diminishing the book. I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to say is that
right.
I transliterated Pharaoh, which you can do on a chart on the bottom. You know, there are these letters. And
yes.
you see the P on the bottom right, which is P, and that goes up to Hebrew is read right to left. So you can see that symbol. Anyway, if I translate pero in hero in Greek, it turns out that it makes the sound pera. And if I translate on from Hebrew, it makes the sound on. And and the problem with this is that I find that the Torah, the Hebrew, converts to Greek. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. The Holy Torah, the word for Pharaoh is the Greek Pharaoh, and we know Pharaoh didn't exist. That is the Greek mistake of Per-ha. So, and on is Anu, Inu, which is Heliopolis, which they call on, and that converts to Greek. If anybody is really understanding what I'm trying to say is that this document has been tampered with. It was written by the Greeks.
Pharaoh, wow.
There is no word for Pharaoh. His name is Nosut Bidi Sarah. Sarah or Nosut Bidi and any of the title. It is not Per-ah, the great house. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know that you're all deeply Christian and deeply Hebrew and deeply Islamic. But this document is a Greek document. And it makes sense because the most learned people at the time were the Persians and the Greeks. And everyone else is pretty much illiterate. But this document, unless there's any other primary source, which there is none, Pharaoh is Greek. Now, then I had a problem with Panaea Zaphanas. Come to find out, a Hebrew scholar himself looked at Panaea Zaphanathus said, you know what? Somebody made a mistake. His name is Davidovitz, Professor Davidovitz. And what he did was he did the same thing. He took those words, and if you look, he says Zaphanas Panea. He wrote it the other way. He put the, he converted it. It turns out to be that is Hanap Zaphanas. Then it works out to be it's all like sounds. When you do transliteration, it works out to be Hanapu Amenophis or Amenophis Phyllis de Hapu or son of Hapu. Amenophis, not Amenhotep now. It's not Amenhotep. It's Amenophis. There is Greek in the Holy Torah. Somebody, somewhere, if they do not have the original document, this statement about the Hebrews being in Egypt, in this case, it is Mesram. So Egypt converts to Mesram. It doesn't convert to Greek Egypt, though, but it does convert to Mesram. But this is primary evidence. This is a researcher's. This is what a researcher's joy is. A researcher's joy is finding out that the document that people believe in has been tampered with. Right here on the remix with Miss Blue. So I want to keep going on because I know just like I did with the Hebrews, I know that there are a lot of sects and orders and people who study ancient Kemet and they're guided by their teachers. But I need you. Kemetu, that is the name of the people of Kemet. You, Remesh, you citizen of Kemetu, to begin to have the courage to ask your teachers about some things. You should be able to ask them. And I know that there are people who study the Tree of Life, and I know... I've certainly read some work on Egyptian yoga, and definitely Egyptian yoga. There is definitely kinetic words that is very sound. That is a part of the in the house of life. The Tree of Life, unfortunately, is a wisdom teacher's understanding, but I cannot find no
Tree of Life Metanetra. I can't find it in the literature. So I'm not saying that anything except for I can't find it, and then there's some other things I want to talk about. So I'm going to move past that. I want to talk about,
okay.
I want to talk about, because I want to talk about paradigms and paradigm blindness.
Mm.
Now, this European think tanks, they now think in context of paradigms. And we use that word a lot, and we are completely, again, it's a nice word. It makes us sound smart, but we don't know what the hell that word means. I'm going to tell you that a paradigm is a set of rules. You can follow along. You can fast forward a couple of pages. But it's a collection of rules written and unwritten that control how we solve problems. Europeans, this is Dr. Joel Barker's work. He's a futurist scholar. He deals with major corporations. He is making sure his technology on paradigms is making sure Europeans stay exactly in the place that they are. And I'm going to tell you why. Paradigms, again, is a set of rules, a collection of rules written and unwritten that controls how we solve problems. If we're not smart enough or haven't learned a particular rule, then we'll be blind. Like, if you don't read the Metanetra, if you don't convert Hebrew, you're blind. You don't see it. You're blind.
Right.
No one can tell it to you unless I or a researcher liberates you. Once you change the rules, the future is created. Or you could find the future in by finding who's changing the rules.
Right.
Right? At any given time, there are multiple paradigms competing to solve a problem, some good, some bad. Paradigms could be graphed against each other. You can change the rules. You can insert chaos, destroy a paradigm for someone else to make yourself more successful. You can kill Malcolm X paradigm and insert King. Kill King, insert the NAACP. Take over the NAACP, not as integration. The Black American dream becomes our nightmare. We've been sabotaged. Why? Because they used paradigm theory on us. They were able to see that Malcolm X was solving a set of problems that wasn't solved.
Wow.
Reaching out to Africa, they killed him. They saw King growing closer to Malcolm X. They can graph it. They listened. They watched his speech. They looked at the people who loved them. Kill King, insert the NAACP. NAACP is an organization, not a person. Take over it, right? Integrate it. Put some other people in it. Put some other goals in it. NAACP becomes an organization that now helps or is the it helps other people with their civil rights. And we have been pushed into a nightmare of integration. So change the rules, you change the future. Here are African rule changers. Check out the GitHub. George M. James, Benjo Cannon, Clark, Ruzes, Karanga, Banger, Hilliard, Sister Riketti Amen, Dr. Leonard Jeffries. They help us solve some of the unsolvable problems, whether it's teaching us giving us pathways to go to look at primary information. I want to give you some words. These are some words. You can write them down. Miss Blue is a stickler on exercises, so I'm going to give you some
work.
Words. We are the Kemetu. I can show you the glyph later, but we are the Kemetu. We are not the Kemites. That is a cruel joke on us. Right, making us sound like the Hittites, who are the Kemetu's enemies. We are not the Kemites. There's no word for Kemite. We are the Kemetu. The Kemetu, they have a citizenship. That is the Remesh. They have a national identity. Shimsu is a follower. That is someone who's on a path. You could be a Shimsu Ankh, Shimsu Hor, meaning a follower of Horus, the elder. Shimsu Ankh, a follower of light. There is Medunetra, which is the language that I showed you earlier. And there's Medunefer, that is good speech. I want to say that all of this is to help us gain an entry point in the house of the in the Per-Ankh. So further down, I said I recently presented the paper in ASCAC. That was 20 minutes. I didn't get a chance to finish it. I want to give you some new words. I want to give you this word, Kiminu. And there's a glyph for it, which is Kiminu is 8 dashes, a water jug, and it's the city or town glyph. That represents a place. That is the place that you call Hermopolis. So it's 8 dashes, a water jug, and the town glyph. Then there is the 8 forces, primeval forces, and they are called the Kiminu, too. But glyph, the determinative has changed to a deity. So it's the 8 dashes, and then it's the 2 knives, and then it's the Uchik, and the determinative of a deity. Now, that is the Kiminu. Now, the Kiminu is what I'm here to talk to you all about. I'm going to skip the section on intellectual warfare. That is something that Dr. Jacob Carruthers let us know that we are engaged in an intellectual warfare that we must win for our children, not for us, for our children. It is a very academic, intellectual conversation about areas that we must tackle so that we can win. And we have to be precise. And because the ancient people of Kemet, they described what we were going to encounter because they were encountering it. And they have this famous speech from the instructions of King Makari or Mary Kare, and says about our enemy. He says, Lo's a miserable Asiatic. He is wretched because of the place he is in, short of water, bare of wood. Its paths are many and painful because of mountains. He does not dwell in one place. Food propels his legs. He fights since the time of Horus. He does not announce the day of combat like a thief who darts about a group. Isn't that the oppressor that we are dealing with today? Isn't he in Europe, short of water, bare of wood? Isn't his paths many and painful because of the mountains? Right? It's just not the European. It's the ideal of that type of person. All races come from Africans, but they don't have to be that way. They choose that way. He does not dwell in one place. Food propels his legs. This is a problem of a mentality that we have been dealing with since the time of Horus.
Yes, yes, yes.
And African people there are many African people who have taken that mentality. So the mentality is not race-specific. It is no longer race-specific.
So true.
It is a mentality. And I know there's some people who are like, black people, we're blessed and we do wrong. We're killing ourselves, and not just us. The whole world needs to heal. We, since we are the mothers and fathers of, we have a special obligation to do better. Right? We are the test, and we. So, I want to get back into the punk. So I'm marching on to I talked about the House of Life. And in the early glyph, I showed you the picture of the Per-Ankh, which is kind of like a doorway with an ankh in it. And I would like people to draw that, because you know why you have to draw it? If you can draw that symbol, which is a kind of like a rectangle with an opening and an ankh in it, the reason why you have to draw it is because once you draw it, then you can start looking for it. When you go to the museums, look in the text, You may not be able to know the meta nature, but you could, how, you know, you could put your finger on that. You could say, wait, I might need this, wait, I need to slow down. Let me go ask somebody who reads the meta nature, what is this? I might be in one of the museums in Europe, right? Or the Prague, or in Prague,
yeah.
or something like that, or the Louvre, or something like that, and
right.
or the museum, and there might be an exhibit, and all of a sudden, and I'm like, oh no, there's the Pearl Ark. Let me take a picture of it. I gotta call somebody, like Brother Infidici or Sister Ricchetti. Well, I mean, it's only gonna be on this exhibit. It's only gonna be on for a week. Anyway, I wanted why the Pearl Ark. The entry point that me and Miss Blue discussed is that the ancient Kemetu civilization, because there's no Kemetic, the Kemetu, based in the Ramesh, based their civilization on an educational system of life. And not just, and that's the Pearl Ark, and not just life. What I'm here today to tell you, it's just not life like the European, remember they control the rules? It's not life.
Mm-hmm.
It's the qualities that create life. And much of that has to do with the Kemeno. And I know, yeah, I heard of the Akdad. Yeah, you heard of the Akdad. That's a Greek word, or you haven't heard of the Kemeno. Yeah, Brother Reggie, I heard of the Kemeno. Well, watch what I'm going to teach you. So let's deal with the Ark first. Now, the people of Kemet, they're very, very scientific. First of all, you've always seen the symbol of someone putting the Ankh symbol to a nose, and that means life. Well, it's something strange about why the nose? Why not the mouth? Why not the stomach? Why not on the pineal gland that everybody talks about? Why the nose?
Right, right.
The sound that we make when we breathe through our nose, right? We just breathe. Everybody breathe through your nose and make a sound. We don't hear you. We're on the other side of the radio. We don't hear you. So make that sound. You breathe through your nose.
Right.
You know that noise that some of your wives complain about, or some of your husbands complain about, or your children complain about, that loud snore nose. Noise. You know that now. That. So you breathe into your nose and you stop. It makes a sound, and that sound is knock. And that's incredible. And that's the life sound. And it's all brother speculation. But, okay. All right, so give it to me. It's speculation, but the fact of the matter is that some priest must have heard that noise, and that in sound that you want to say, Brother Reggie, you don't know what you're talking about? Yeah, well, that in sound is a wave sound. It's a wave glyph in the meta nature. And that in sound is so important because it is so connected to a lot of the deities, Amen. It is so important, Ren, for your name. Like everyone has a Ren, which is their name. That wave sound is connected to that vibration. That vibration sound, that glyph is so important. So, yes, it has something to do with life. Now, what I'm going to do now is I am going to talk about the Kemeno. And I am going to talk about the mothers and fathers that created life.
Yes.
And that light, was the creator, and the creator created life on earth, and that is the formula. And why we study why the Egyptian the Kemetu system is based on life, because they every cosmology that they have, and let me just see where I am. Every cosmology that they have, every cosmology that they have, they they solve a problem. And I'm going to try to give you some more information because I just caught up with myself. I also want to say about Kemet that you can just put into your pra'ankh is that every Nosut name, every name of Nosut, of the king, he has multiple names. He has a Nosut Bedi name, a Sava name, maybe a Golden Horus name, and a Gnome name. Every name that he has is signifying what that Nosut had to solve, that problem that he solved for his people. So the names are related to a secret history of Kemet. And you can go back and you can look at the names. But I'm going to give you a few. Ankhet Amun, Ankhet Amun, Ankhet Amun, or Tut, King Tut as you call him, because you can't release that, you know, you have problems with that. But Ankhet Amun or Tut Ankh Amun, however you want to call him, and his wife Ankhet Amun, Ankhet Amun. They were both, they were on the throne because Akhenaten had destroyed the old ways. And it was such a revolution, the Amarna revolution, is that they knew now that they had to protect the old ways. They had to bury it. They had to put it in hiding because Akhenaten was serious about destroying the old ways. And so when he was dethroned, they put on Ankhet Amun or Tut Ankh Amun. There's an Ankh and there's an Amun. And he has that in his name. And his wife has both those names. So they put a double Ankh and a double Amun on the stage to say that they are to restore family. People don't also know that Shabaka, his name was Shabaka Nefakare. And, I know this, but Shabaka Stone, Brother Reggie, you ain't yeah, I know, you know the Shabaka Stone, but his name is Shabaka Nefakare. And his name was Beautiful is the Souls of Re. Why? Because he restored the Worm Eden text that was hidden during that time period. He comes in the 12th dynasty. And after the 18th dynasty, they hid everything. But Shabaka Nefakare comes from Nubia. And he is Beautiful of the Souls of Re. And remember when we start talking about the Famine Stella and we talked about the Souls of Re, the records? The records? You remember that?
Yes,
well,
I do.
Beautiful is the records or the Souls of Re. He is in charge of the records. They're saying that the records are beautiful and he restored them from being worn.
They are.
People don't know that Hattusat, her name is Makare. That means truth is the soul of Re, meaning the records are true.
Yes.
She followed a path that no one else in her generation did. She went back to punt based on the records. She went. She didn't do what Zoser did. Zoser only prayed. She actually went there to bring back the sacred things that her ancestors did. She went south to Eritrea to punt. This is what our text gives to us. We don't need a mediator. We don't need
Moses.
We don't need it. All we need is the text. And if anyone says, well, Brother Reggie, yeah, I know this. Now I'm like, yeah. It took me a long time, and my teachers are masters.
Yeah.
And if they told me something was in a whisper, it wasn't in a real, they just said, listen, it's for you and your generation. So today on the remix, I am bringing some of this life's work out. Now, Dr. George G.M. James in The Stolen Legacy and Dr. Finn commanded us to master the virtues. Now, I'm talking about the mystery systems. I'm talking about the Per-Ankh, or what people call the mystery systems, right? And he said that the earliest salvation is the Egyptian theory. The Egyptian mystery system had its most important objects, the deification of man, thought did a lot of misspelling through the soul of man, if liberated from his body fetters, could enable him to become godlike and see the gods in the life and attain the beatific vision and hold communion with the immortals, meaning that that if you follow these, that you could be saved. You can be saved by a body of knowledge that's going to liberate you from your bodily fetters, and that's on that's page 27 on George M. James' book. So forgive my spelling errors. He quotes C.H. Vale. Then he says, such was the Egyptian theory of salvation, though which the individual was trained to become godlike while on earth and at the same time qualified for everlasting happiness. This was accomplished through the efforts of the individual through the cultivation of art, science on one hand and a life of virtue on the other. There was no mediator between man and his salvation, and we find, as we find in the Christian theory. Sorry, I was typing fast. In the ancient Timothy, you can be a master or self-master if you master yourself in the Per-Ankh, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. So he goes on and says, these are the virtues. Yeah, and they're going to say, yeah, Brother Reggie, we know him. That's on page 30, 31 of Stolen Legacy. I've been reading that for the last 30, 35 years, and yeah, I know it. Control of thought, control of action. Steadfastness of purpose, evidence of the mission, identity of a higher idea, called a spiritual order, freedom from resentment, faith in the master's teacher, faith in our ability to learn and preparedness for initiation. Yeah, Brother Reggie, we even do that in our Masonic Lodge now. We master that. We have old levels of schools on that. I know, good brother. I know you do. The problem with research is that, Miss Blue, you know what bothered me about this?
What was that?
Miss Blue, what bothered me about this is that I went to C.H. Vale looking for this, and I spent like 20 years trying to find control of thought, control of action, and steadfastness of purpose. Because, you know, Dr. George M. James said, you know, he got it from the, or C.H. Vale got it from the, from the ancients, from us. And I know that there's a temple where this is on, and I can go to Kemet and I can just sit there like I did when I went to the pyramids and climb the pyramids, and I can just or go to the Luxor temple. I can just sit there and just say thank God and pray and see all the related texts and see the glimpse for myself and guess what? And guess what, Miss Blue? I couldn't find it. Something on the internet. Walla Dulubit said that it was on the Temple of Karnak. You know, I'm stuff looking for it. You know what it was? I was stuck. I had a paradigm blindness. So 25 years later, after I got some rest, I found out where they were and what they were. And so we could finish. The greatest thing that we can do is finish some of our elders' words and writings, complete their unfinished books. And I believe that I found the 10 virtues in the Metanetra. And I can tell you what they are, and they seem to match pretty well.
Yes.
And it's Sia, which is divine thought, Sejum, which is the ability to hear, that is a glyph of a ear, like a pig's ear or a calf's ear, big ear. But Sejum means hearing. And I perceive that, and it's all over the Metanetra. Sejum is something that is important in the sacred text, if you're reading it in the Metanetra or translating it. Ma means perception, M-A-A. That is sight or perception. And I see that as the ability to learn. Who is divine speech? To be purposeful. People don't know that the so-called Sphinx is not Harati or the Horus in Horizon. His name is Hu, Nebhu. That is his name. I'm sorry, y'all, but his name is not the Sphinx or the Horem Eki. It's not that. That's his title. He's Nebhu. But that means divine speech, being purposeful. Then it's Heka, divine action. Sa, I'm sorry, it should be two A's. That is state of being spiritual.
Right.
Equates evidence of high ideas. This mot, truth, justice, and righteousness, beliefs, spiritual order. This Jerumah, which is the name of the silent self-mastered one.
Wow.
The Jerumah. The mystery system person is the Jerumah. And guess what? In India, that name still remains as the high priest. The Guru Ma in India is the same as the Jerumah in Kemet. Then there's Mat Karu, truer voice, being godlike. Oh, my spelling is terrible. I'm writing so quick to get on this show. Mat Karu is truer voice, godlike, vindicated by deeds and actions. On earth, you can be Mat Karu. If you practice, if you're guided by the soul of Ray, if you listen to guidance from your from people who can mediate the universe and open portals for you, if you're a good student, if you practice it, if you have tools that people give you, right, you can become Mat Karu. You could be an Asar on a Sar. That's what the resurrected one. In the company of gods. These, now, if anybody studied the sacred text, they know these words, and they say, wow, I've seen all these words. And all of these words have huge text related to it. Sia has huge text. Who has huge text? Jerumah has huge text. So now we can go and reread. We don't need a priest.
Right.
We need some guidance, but that's part of Sejus, hearing the master teacher. But after you hear them, right, you get ma, your own perceptions and your ability to learn. You take action, hecka. You become purposeful, cool. These are the tools and the guides that we need to restore ourselves.
Know your magic. You know, this is so beautiful, Brother Reggie, because everything that the remix is about and everyone who presents here, this is what it's about. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, it's more. I'm lucky. Yeah. It's more. Because when you're talking about I'm trying to get to the Kimono, and I need the people to understand the tools that George D. M. James gave us, that I'm now giving you ability to hear, to perceive, showing you the meta-nature, allowing you to see the meta-nature, the holy meta-nature for the first time, and to show you that you've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, you've been taken advantage of. The other teachings that you think are real, I just translated and transliterated for you and showed you that it is Greek. And the Greeks got their golden age in Kemet. And so these stories or plagiarisms, and they're in trouble because now we know that they that there's something that they have to explain. But I want to go back into the House of Life, so that you have drawn it. Please make sure you have drawn it. Please, in your moments while nobody was listening, that you made the sound of knock.
Yes.
That you breathe in through your nose to your... Because when you breathe in through your nose, it goes right to your abdomen. It goes through your system. If you breathe in through your mouth, it only goes into your chest. But if you nose, it goes to your belly. I want to move to... If you're interested, and sorry, if you're interested in Metanetra, you can seek out Sister Riketti Amen's Metanetra course online. You can find Brother Impedici. He has a lot of tapes out. Dr. Mario B. is at Howard. Dr. John James Conyers is at King College. These are some of the best. Now, there are other Metanetra scholars, but Sister Riketti is, She got her PhD from the Oriental Institute of Chicago. She is a powerful sister. She's the best of the best. She got her PhD from one of their universities, and she taught a lot of us. I was actually in one of her first classes in New York. I wasn't a great student, but that was 30-something years ago. I also want to tell you about an author, Dr. Douglas A. White. He wrote an amazing paper called The Tour of Atlantis, or What Happens in the Astral Realm. I'm going to get to that.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to get to that. There is this author, say it for me, Rabinowitz.
Rabinowitz is the last name, Rabinowitz.
He is the author of the IsleOfFire.com. He is a Hebrew scholar, but he is a genius in languages, and he translated a very difficult document, the 12 Gates, and I'm going to get to that, and that's part of Ms. Blue's work and some of your own work, but you're going to have to understand what I'm going to say. I'm going to say on the next page, somewhere around the next page, there is part of Dr. Douglas A. White's work. Dr. Douglas A. White has said, and if you see, you're to that page, Ms.
Yes, I am.
He's saying that the word for Atlantis, and this is how we're stuck. Now, we know Atlantis is a Greek word, and we know it derives. They say it was a story that Solanzo told Cato. So we know the word is Atlantis. So if it's Atlantis, we know that they usually put an S on word. They love to put the S's on the word, and they don't pronounce R's pretty well. So Dr. Douglas White said that the word for Atlantis is actually a Terra Antekek, and there's the metanetra again, the knife, which is like the AI sound, like Amen. The T is the half circle. There's an R. You see that again? Then there's those waves. Right? Right? And then over there is there's the I sound, the I sound, and then it's the I, which is ear, in. And then there is, later on, is the two, like half, like bowls, which are the K sounds. So, and then he shortens it. He says that sometimes you see there's a Tera and Tet, and he does that again. Basically what he's saying is that you get rid of the final T for the sound, or a Terra Antec, you get rid of the final T, and then you turn that and that becomes the Greek S, and then they don't pronounce R's well, so you get the Egyptian R's get to be L, so then you get Atlantis out of this word. And that basically that this word talks about the underground labyrinths, like the Valley of the Kings, the gates, the 12 gates. And then he talks about the connections between Atlantis, the 12 gates, and the main hall. And basically, in long and short, the Greeks misunderstood that Atlantis, or now we know is Antero and Tet, because we know Atlantis had to derive from something, that is basically the underground labyrinth that we call the Book of the Gates. On the next page, he goes and he shows a glyph that he believes sounds like that. And, you know, there's the feather, and we know the feather means not or belief, right? And then we see these two twin pathways that kind of connect to the story. And then he has a text that says the two labyrinths join and the two regions unite. Made secret are the pathways for the gods who would pass through. So without even knowing what that main glyph is, We know that we have the thing that says, made secret are the pathways for the gods who pass through. And then there's another glyph that says, he has split your labyrinth, dead ones. He has made strong your boundary markers, which are the legs under the hand of Osiris. He has circled the pathways of Set. Which all of this begins to talk about kind of a labyrinth, a valley. And so his work is worth reading, and it's really worth reading because the Book of Gates is where people who study spirituality, who study pathways and portals.
Yeah.
It's in the Book of the Perinin Haru, the Book of the Dead. It's all about being able to go through the hidden doors with your mind and your spirit.
Yes.
And solve the problem of salvation. You have to know the demon names. You have to know your enabler names, the people who's going to help you. You have to know the assessor's names. And you can become Mach Karu by practicing. And what we're saying is that the priest used the 12 gates as a practice point for themselves so that they're able to move their mind, even if it's just an exercise. If they can remember this, they can move their mind to places that other people, they have mastery of mind. They have Sia. They have Hu. They have Heka. They have it because they prove it. They prove it by moving their minds to places and knowing who their assessors are. And so part of the 12 gates, there are these glyphs that's there, and it says, know the beliefs of those who dwell in the Duat or astral realm, those actions associated with them. Know that they are illuminated by the higher self sun. Know the secret beliefs. Know the nature archetypes in the hours. Because what we're talking about is 12 hours, that rest period. There's 24 hours. We're talking about the 12 hours where your work is finished, where you go and you practice. You go into deep sleep and you come out of sleep in the different areas of sleep. Know how he, the higher self, summons them. Know the portals and pathways and the powerful God progress with regard to them. Know the movement of the hours and their nature architect. Know the divine mediators and the destructive ones. This is your practice. This is your work. This is how we, this is not European education. This is self-mastery. And this is in the text, this is in the per ankh. So I'm going to move on, and finally I am getting to the Kemenu, which is the, which is those who created the light, which is the creator who created life. And again, there's their glyph, and Dr. Jacob Crothers talks about them in his book in 1986. George G.M. James talks about them also in The Stolen Legacy. And yeah, Brother Reggie, I know about the Akdad, I know about Amenamenet, Unumet, Keket, Heyad. Yeah, well, what did you say, Brother Reggie? I didn't know that you said it like that. What did you say? Yeah, Amenamenet, the hidden. The hidden and its opposite, Nununet, primordial matter and its complement or opposite, which is female, Kek, which is darkness and its opposite or complement, which is maybe the a version of the unseen that's different than the Amen, but a force, a quark, Hehehet, which is like infinity or immeasurable or macro and but Brother Reggie, what did you say? Yeah, I said Amenamenet, Nununet, Keket, Hehehet. But Brother Reggie, hey, hello, that works out to be Ankh. Yeah, it does work out to be Ankh. Our people were geniuses. Yeah, but Brother Reggie, okay, well, Amen, you know, you can't use Amen because it's not Amen. Brother Reggie, is Emen. You know, this. I know Metanet, Brother Reggie, it's the knife and it's that the M sound and then it's the wave. No, Brother Reggie, you can't say Amen. Okay, take the Amen out. Amen is invisible anyway, so just take him out. You still get Nach, and that's still the same symbol. Oh, okay, Brother Reggie, you got me. All right, Brother Reggie, continue, because, I have to think about that. Let me do some research. Okay, I understand. I'm going to help you with your research. So let's move on. So those are the eight. They are in what you call the eight dekimino. They, I'm going to read you some very, 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 very sacred texts that you need. But before I get that, I need to talk about the other cosmologies. We know Canoon cosmology. So there are three, in the Canoon saga, there's Ankhet and Setet. And here you see Ankhet, while Canoon is building humans and deities on the potter's wheel.
Right.
See Ankhet putting it up to their nose, that sound that I talked about, and giving them the qualities of life, which is Amen Amenet Nununet Keket Hehat, which I say that those qualities are in that Ankh. And I'm going to get to that. And basically, here's some text associated with that. And we read some of that from the famine stella. I am Canoon, your creator, my arms are around you. And then later, for I am the master who makes, himself exalted in Noon. And that's important because Canoon himself says that he was born in Noon, but there's really no text around it that shows that his birth. And you're saying, well, Brother Reggie, you know, you got Canoon, you got Amen, you got all these gods. I'm going to solve that for you. I'm not going to solve it. I'm going to show you what our ancients say about these creators. Okay. Now we have the Innu cosmology. Different than me and a lot of other people, I'm going to show you the Metanetra. So here is, remember, On from the Joseph story. This is the real word, the Innu, Onu, and this is about creating the nine. See, now each of these cosmologies solve a problem in the house of life. The Kemeno cosmology solves the problem of what was in existence before God. What was the state? What was, and you have Amen Amenet, these eight quarks, as we call it. We're talking about quantum physics. We're talking about Big Bang theory, infinity puzzle. We're talking about pre-creation, black matter, radiation, and I'm going to get a little to that. The Canoon solves the problem of matter, that we are all of the soil, we're all of the earth. So we're built from some qualities that were created after the Big Bang. That's what Canoon solves. The Innu cosmology, which I've seen it in the Tree of Life and some other kind of modern workings of it, of trying to manifest this. Well, this is the people of Kemet classifying the world after the world on Earth after the Big Bang.
Right. So
a tomb, which is which I believe is hydrogen. And you have Shu and Tefnut, which is moisture. They are not necessarily. They have hydrogen involved in it. See, a tomb is the. Miss Blue, there's no periodic table elements. That's European. There's only one element that's hydrogen. Everything else is a vibration of hydrogen stuck to another hydrogen based on a vibration.
Wow.
Two hydrogens is helium, and you go down a road, and it's stuck by a vibration, and it's bonded by Mott and Tahuti, and as you create hydrogens, you add hydrogens, you get different kind of elements and things like that. So Shu and moisture or water is an aspect of hydrogen, right? Air has hydrogen in it. Water has hydrogen, H2O. Then there's earth, right? All the different type of other elements. And you have the sky. What's in the sky, right? A part of this whole thing. And then you have things that relate to humans, Osar, resurrection, Aset, his female counterpart, his wife, that they are magically entwined. They create magic. You have Seth, which is an opposite of Horus. You have Nephthys, which is a helper of Aset. You have Horus, and then you have the son Horus, which will be magically born. And you have all of this how can I say self-generated, a tomb created, born out of the noon, the land mound which arises, and then out of the primal waters, and you can read the rest of it. I'm going to move on. But I do want to say that Osor and the Set, Seth and Nephthys, or answers to problems in the world, jealousy, birth, pain and suffering and resurrection and the ability for the woman to put the, not only to birth the man but to put it all together with her sister and Seth, who is ultimately at the end of the day evil, ultimately becomes good. Becomes good. You have all the stories, but the bottom level is the stories of man, and the Innu cosmology solves not the problem of creation, but solves the problem of what is the sky, what is going on in the earth, what's this dirt, what's this, what are these, how are they related? That's what this cosmology solves. This is in the House of Life. Then you have the Menefer, the next page, the Shabaka stone and the Menefer, and then you see a glyph again, that kind of comb. And then you see that ensign that I talk about, that wave.
Yes.
And that's and then you see the kind of like this guitar looking type of thing, which is Nefer, or a vase, and that's Nefer. And this solves the problem of the authority of the Norsut, the authority of God. Let there be light, right? Because in this you have heart, mind, and tongue. You have authoritative speech. You solving the problem of when God said, let there be light, creation comes about based on speech. Patah, speak. And the world is the world is created. The creator's tongue. So this solves the problem of the authority of speech and God's speech. And we're gonna move on, and there's other Kemetu cosmologies. We know later Amun, he leaves the Akdat, or the Kemenu, and he becomes Amun Re. He bonds himself with Re, and he becomes the chief deity. He becomes the deity that we, all the other deities, we don't, they don't hear our voices. Amun has 737 ears and millions of eyes. Amun Re is the one we pray to. He is the one who hears our prayers. That's what cosmology solves. Khonsu is about the moon, right? Because we didn't talk about the moon, but Khonsu is about the moon and his cosmology around there. I don't really study Khonsu. I study more creation text. And then it's Aten. Aten was of course, Akhenaten, that is kind of like to me a bastardization of the what the Europeans say, that he believed in one God. I'm gonna show you more ancient text. Aten is important, but because he became a heretic, I personally don't deal with him, but he's worth studying. So like I said, they all solve a different problem, and that's what the people of Kemet did. They created these so-called deities, which were really natures or really aspects of nature, to solve problems. Whereas Enpu, the opening of the way, they call them Anubis. All of these deities solved the problem. But I am getting to where my heart is, so I can get to the text that I need to. And I know, Ms. Blue, I know this is for your audience. I know I'm hoping that they have the internet, and I'm hoping they follow along.
They're right here with you. Yes.
I want to get to the qualities of life. I want to get to life itself. There are a lot of us. I know some priests that walk around with the Book of Dead and read the Perenian Haru. Or the Book of Coming Forth by Day and Night, like it's a Bible. And I'm like, yeah, priest, or yeah, brother, check this out. that's only part of it. That's the part when you begin to prepare for your next life. But you're missing so much, because how could you master life in the next phase when you haven't mastered life or the creation life? We have not spent enough time with creation life, and that's why I'm on your show today. It's the creation life. It is the mothers and fathers that created life, or the creator that created life, so that we can have everlasting life. We can't just get to the everlasting life, right? We got to start understanding the power and the forces, and those are the things that control the portals, time. Remember Hay and Hay Head, Mitchie?
Yes. Yes.
How we've been to places, how we can project ourselves.
Yes.
We need to master that. Because you can't get to everlasting life. You can't have your heart weighed on the feather of Ma'at and be Ma'at Karut without mastering, or you can't be on the table and get the onto your nose during the opening of the mouth if you've never understood life. The European has a fixation on death. You know, death and resurrection.
Yeah.
The African has a fixation on life. His civilization, his early civilizations, was built on life and ethical and moral texts. So I'm here where I want to be, which is Nununet, Kekeke. Aminaminet, and these are the glibs for those deities. The only thing that's missing is the half circle for the T for their opposite. I took this off of Jacob Carruthers' work because his book was so important, but he did not put in the female. I am saying that that this works out to be the first creation formula. That, you know, people want to say, you know, have aliens been here, or, you know, what are the, this is the creation formula. NKH with the hidden eye is the particles that created life. It is the first creation formula. On that next page is a famous picture of Nasut getting life, right? And she's sitting on the so-called perfect perpendicular herself, and she is giving life to the Nasut. And I could be wrong, but I think it's Heru. Hathor, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's Set, but I could be wrong. And I'm not perfect. So I'm sorry if someone out there said, Brother Reggie, I got you, you're busted, you're wrong. I just didn't take enough time on this, but there's some other important symbols. But the most important thing is the Nasut holding her hand while she gives him the qualities that create life. Not just life, but the qualities, the forces that I just talked about. Because what is this about? This is about quantum physics. I'm trying to get to where I want to be. Quantum physics is a branch of science that deals with discrete invisible units of energy called quanta, as described in the quantum theory. There are five ideas represented in quantum theory. Energy is not continuous, but comes in small but discrete units. The elementary particles behave both like particles and like waves. Remember the N sign? The KH sign in the ankh?
Yes.
Movement of these particles is inherently random. It's physically impossible. Hey, her head. Infinity, vibrations, Tahuti. It's physically impossible to know both the position and momentum of a particle at the same time. The more precisely one is known, the less precise the measurement is of the other. Vibrations, the atomic world is nothing like the world, the atomic world, or the quantum world, or the world of the eight, or pre-creation world is nothing like the world we live in. That's our ancestors. They said that this is the nature of God. That is why the African has to be controlled, because 6,000 years ago, we uncovered the nature of God through our quiet time, through our meditation. Dr. Gabriel Oyibo, who many of you heard about, he created unified theory. It is about waves. He is the one who let us know that there is only one hydrogen. Hydrogen is the element, and that everything else is a part of hydrogen. And he knows that Europeans are now trying to look up the God. Search the God particle. They are trying to classify that first wave energy, that light that created the light. They are trying to look for Ray. And Dr. Oyibo says that, you know, this could be very helpful, but it could be very destructive, that we could create the energy, we don't have to pay for it. It could be created, but it's also a very dangerous thing. Here is my creation formula. There is the Ankh sign, which is the eight coming together. The Aminaminet, Nununet, Keket, Hehehet. In the scriptures, in the literature, these eight, they come together. It is unstable. How can I say? The waters part. The lotus flower comes up. There's the Isle of Fire. Ray is born. And I am saying that when the eight came together, it released the energy wave, traveling hey, 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 separating darkness, separating light from Keck for the very first time, right? Creating matter, which is that God particle. And this is, and many people say, oh, Brother Reggie, that's the placenta. There's not no placenta. There's no placenta in pre-creation. There's no God giving birth. There ain't no God. Gods don't give. They're not having intercourse is also on a set. They're not having sex. Everybody else's creation is done by sneezing, by coughing, by coming together by a force. Don't be playing with me. Stop that. This is a perfect creation formula, and there's something else. You don't see it yet, but you're going to see it. But I'm saying that when these eight came together, there was a wave that separated darkness from light, that created matter, that created light, that created life. So the next page is, you know, operators in quantum mechanics. If you read through them really quick, talk about time, kinetic energy, space. You still get Aminaminet, Nununet, Keket, Hehehet, and all of this. The right side is binary algebra. The eight is so important. We run today. The internet runs on the eight, or it could be a formula: N1, N2, Nununet times KKK and KQ2 times Hehehet times unknown. That you can get the Big Bang theory. Here's a map of the Big Bang expression. You see all of the stuff that I'm talking about. You see dark matter radiation, the quantums, which are gluons, which is the Aminaminet, Nununet, Keket, Hehehet, coming together, and some explosion happening, and across the universe, just like I said it in my little formula, and the universe is created. God is created.
Yeah.
But Brother Reggie, what do you mean, Brother Reggie? I'm tired of you talking about this is the Ankh, you know, what the, you know, you got to show and prove. Well, lo and behold. Remember I said that we're talking about the Pra-Ankh, and remember I said that Ankh Tadamon, he was the Restorer King?
Yes.
And that he... being the Restorer King, he was restoring the ancients, and he has an Ankh and a moon in his name. And he has another name called Neb Kepper Array. Many people know that his other name is Lord of the Creation Array. And lo and behold, inside the Ankh loop, in the famous Ankh mirror, is his name, Neb Kepper Array, inside the middle of the Ankh, which is Nun. It has to be Nun because whole drama that's there. You see the lotus, you see the half Well, that half circle that Vita was standing on, that's Ned. That's Ned.
Mm.
You see the Bill Kipra, you see the you see his little wings. Each of those little wings are time, and you see the creation of Ray, and you see the Hay symbol, and this is all his name, which is Neb Kepo Ray, Lord of the creation of Ra, and it is in the up. So, yeah, Brother Reggie, well, okay, you know, that's big coincidence, Brother Reggie. I understand. I mean, is it a coincidence? But if you say it's a coincidence, that's about why is his name Neb Kepo Ray, and why is it inside the Ankh, and his name is Ankh Tut Amun? Well, okay, Brother Reggie. I'm gonna chill. I'm gonna chill. Next page. Next page is the Kimino. The Kimino. I am saying that how can I say it? That the Ankh is the Kimino combined that created this environment and these funny little glyphs that you're looking at. If you haven't seen it. On the left side, right? The one on the left side is the name of Tut Ankh Amun. See the two half circles? That's the T. You see the U chick the chicken. That's a U sound. So the two half circles make Tut. You see the Ankh there? That's Ankh. And then you see the little knife and that comb again and the inside with the vibration. That's Emin. So that's Tut Ankh Amun, and then there's the Wa sign and the other signs of how can I say of his authority. Thinking that's the Nosut sign, and then that other glyph is Neb Kepo Ray, Lord of the Creation of Ray. Neb, which is the circle reverse, not the T sound, but the that means Neb. That's a biliteral, and then there's Kepra, and then there's Ray, and that's his sign. And this is creation. He has a creation name, and then on the bottom is his queen's name. Well, you got to bring the queen in. Her name is the knife again. I the comb M and the N. And then there's the Ankh, and then there's the S sign. That candy cane is the S sign. So it's Amun, Emin Ankhes, or Ankhes Amun. We heard her name in the Mummy, in the movie The Mummy, Ankhes Amun. That's her name. She is both Amun is there, and the Ankh creation is in her name. Amun and Ankh is in her name as well, right? So then we get to the incredible symbol. Oh, our people are so divine. Here's the Neb Kepra Ray again, Lord of the Creation. And then we have the beautiful feathers of time and the beautiful Kepra with the purple vibration or the bluish purple that you're going to see there, right? The blue is important to them. Right, that blue purple, blue black, is so important to them. But underneath that, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You have 8 circles, and then some of the circles seem to have penises. They seem to be male, and the other ones are black. So there's the Kimono there, and then underneath that, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You have like 9 fishes or 9, and that's the Anayat, right? You see the Ankh there. You see the Ankh in there, right? Remember, Neb Kepo Ray. Brother Reggie, why do you keep throwing in these Ankhs? Because it's all related. It's the Akdad, the Kimono. Next page. This is the picture that most people have not seen. This is a picture of the vault of the treasures unsealed of Ankh Tut Amun. This is before they broke into it. This is what they saw.
This is the one, the thing that they say, if you cut it, you know, you get you get bad luck. And
luck, yes, the curse.
Yeah. Well, this is it. If it's upside down, if it's upside down, that's because of the picture that they that I took from them. I didn't flip it upside down, so maybe they flipped it upside down, and now I'm just realizing it. But this is the unsealed chamber, and I'm doing that for a reason, because I am going to open up the vault. Now,
wow.
Somebody fast fingers, and you already opened it up, and I have no but I am going to talk about the Kimmenu cosmology. So, how much time do I have?
Oh, you are still doing wonderful on time. Let's just take a time check here. We still have 36 minutes live, and then we still have the after hour. So we have plenty of time to keep moving to this with Brother Reggie. Yes, Brother Reggie. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are lots of variants of the Kimmenu cosmology. There's the Chinjaware. This is the bird of light. Then there's... but all of them have to do with the Kimmenu. There is, of course, in some places, the four males meet in the black bull in the cosmic universe and black matter radiation, and they seed a female cow. And that consummation of the male bull and the female cow, the creator is born. You have this picture here of the Kimmenu and their glyphs. Show them in this particular one. One of them, they use another name for, I think, Amun. They use Grek and Greket, but at any rate, it doesn't matter. These are the eight. They all have ankhs in their hands. Brother Ben gets those ankhs again. You know, except the last two. I don't know if that's a poor rendition of the drawing or maybe, but it doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is that these are primordial creatures, snakes and frogs, male and female, sitting and creating the creator, which is born as a child called Nefertum, and he's created out of the lotus, and then he becomes Re. So. That's a picture that's necessary for you to see. Now let's go into the text. Now some of the texts I have the meta nature for, at least the transliterations of the meta nature. But I am going to give you some of the holiest and holiest of text. In this particular one, and this is where they hid and they make it really hard for us. This is Brother Reggie, researcher. I go to the library. I go follow the silly footnotes. I get to the library, find the book, spend hours in the book just to see it in French and without the glyphs. So I'm tired.
Wow.
But this is it. You, the eight, meaning the Amun, Amunet, Nunet, Keket, Hehet, the Ankh, life, have made from your seed a germ. Then. And you have instilled this seed in the lotus. By pouring the seminal fluid, you have deposited in Nun. To a single form, and your inheritor takes his radiant birth. There is an explosion. There is these eight seeding Nun, black matter radiation. It is deposited there. It's condensed into a single form, some type of catalyst. Your inheritor from that process takes his radiant birth on the aspect of a child. That is Esna 5. It's also in the Edfu. But I was not able. I am having a terrible time with the Edfu text. It's an Edfu. They said it was an Edfu 6. I read the whole Edfu 6. And one day I will show you what I have to go through. But in Esna 4, it's unpublished. It's in a book. And, of course, you know, it's in these deep libraries. And who are you?
Yeah.
And
what affiliations are you? Oh, I'm Brother Reggie. I'm from New York. Do you have PhD? No, I'm not Dr. Reggie. That even sounds funny, Dr. Reggie. No, I'm just Brother Reggie, and I'm here to get this book. And the book is in French. Okay, yeah, I can translate French. You know, I mean, I translated this French, right? You see this? I got that translated. I can translate French. Next. Ooh, now I have some transliterations. I have some transliterations. They didn't give me the glyphs. Let's read it and then let's come back up and let's look at the glyphs. Zen says the great kimono of the initial moment as they respect the God who is between them. Meaning the great kimono in the initial moments of creating, of seeding that known, creating the creator.
Right.
The one most secret of visible forms in its manifestations of Ray, transforming into Ray, having been made as the God who came about by himself, whose bones are silver, whose skin is cold, whose hair is true lapis lazuli, whose teeth are likewise of turquoise. This is in the good God, great Amon. So let's go through the text. Let's look up at it. The DDR says, that's what that means, says, and in a hair must mean the great, and HMNI, right, is the great, you know, right? And that you see that word tepi, huati tepi, that is the initial moments, right?
Mm.
And then they go with the trois nature dot wat. That is like the that's when they start talking about the between them, the nature, the God is nature, and NTR is nature, and nature is what, the wave. And then the SSTW is like I think that has to do with secret. And then it says M Capri W Caprier, and then you get to Ray. Then that's, that whole sign means transforming into Ray. On the bottom of it says Neter Nefer, the good God. But the most important, and the other things talk about the silver and the gold, and meaning they're trying to describe God. Look what God looks like. He's got bones of silver, skin of gold, hair, true lapis.
Yes.
Do you see how incredible this drama is? This is these are some of the most sacred texts that we have of the initial moment. Of the initial moment as they respect the God between them that they made. They are looking at the God and they're commenting on their baby child who is going to be the creator. Who is, believe it or not, their father, because it's a portal. The becomes their father. They bow down to their creator, but they created the creator. But the creator, it's recursive. It's time portals. Next slide. It says, it is the radiance of the sun disk which shines every day that has distanced himself. His ba belongs to the sky. And then there's this part on the bottom that says, he who has appeared upon the earth at the lake of the two knives, who sailed in the heavens in the mornings and evenings of the living child of the Hay God, who rests upon Mat, who brightens the day and dispels darkness. I didn't do all of the meta-nature for this. I only the part that says he appears upon the earth of the lake of the two knives, and who is a living child of the Hay gods. So in the third line, M Hay Nak Hehu, that is the living child of the Hay gods. That that over there. The other one with the upon the Lake of the Two Knives, that's important because people who are doing research, they need to be able to follow that glyph because this is in a place where they live, in the Lake of the Two Knives or the Isle of Fire. And I'm going to show it to you somewhere else. This is in the Adoration of the Ram, Five Hymns to Amun Re from the Hibis Temple by David Klotz. You can find that online. You can download it. Usually these books cost like $200-$300. Let me tell you, all these texts come from the Hibis text. A lot of people have saw, the movie 300 when Greeks fight the Persians. Well, the father of Xerxes, I think Darius II, he had invaded Kemet. And when he invaded Kemet, it was to get the secrets. And so you see this stela in the Hibis temple of him communing with the deities. And what he does is, since Shabaka and Tahaka, they had opened up the vaults again. They heard about it. Now Kemet was ripe for the taking, for the mysteries, for the great mysteries. And in that film, you see the unknowns, I forgot what they call them, but these were these soldiers, monsters, but they were the Egyptians, and they had all the magic. This is what Xerxes, was using against the Greeks, the magic of Kemet, and they were the unknowns. They were Africans, Nubians, but at any rate, these glyphs are important. That this is important because that actually means as a living child of the Hay gods. And then underneath it, it says Hetep Her Mat, so that's easy, who rests upon Mat. So next one, I don't have any glyphs or transliterations. I'm searching for this one. The first primeval ones, the sons and daughters of Ira Tia, the males and females who created light. Now, you know they don't want to give this one up.
No.
The females who created light, who were fashioned in Apep by their father, Tatanan, in his worship of the first moment, the Akdas that give praise to Ray when he illuminates his earth for them. This one is a hard, they don't want to give this up. The males and females who created light, remember, it goes against and let there be light. Where does that come from? The Bible, right?
Right.
But these are the males and females who created light. This is a hard one, but so I know a lot of people are in these spiritual things, and they have their teachers. These are some of the most holiest texts. Now, the next one. This is one of my favorites. And I'm going to read it for you, at least the first four. And it's Twit Emen, Twit or Tuat Atem, Tuat Kepri, Tuat Re. You don't need me to transliterate that for you.
Right.
You know from your soul, I am Emen or Amen. I am Etem or Atum. I am Kepri, I am Re. And then that next line is one of the holiest words that we have. The sole one who made himself into millions.
The sole one who made himself into millions.
What does this mean? This means that the ancient people, the Kemetu, the Ramesh, the Tameri, the Ta-Nehisi, the Ta-Netas, they knew that the names for the Creator were just aspects of the one Creator. This is monotheism at its best. I am Emen. I am Atem. I am Kepri. I am Ra. The sole one who made himself into millions.
Yeah.
You don't need Akhenaten. Akhenaten doesn't do it. Right? This says that the African knew that the Creator had different names. Why? Because we use those names to solve different problems, but it is
right.
The Creator, the sole one who created himself into millions. If you're not studying this in your spiritual centers, if you're not, if your teacher hasn't taught you this, I can understand. It takes a lot of time to go and find this stuff because this is a criminal cosmology. This is not the, even though they're all related, yes, but it's like a an event happening. Let's say something beautiful that might happen. I'm just trying to think of something in Earth that might happen. I can't get a beautiful moment but I don't know, some spring that springs up or a whale, let's say a beautiful whale surfaces and there's ships around the whale, and one person sees it as this and the other ship sees it as that. And the other ship sees it that, and the other ship is so close to it. Well, these are perspectives of the same thing. You can't quarter for only seeing it in his perspective. If one person is only seeing it from the perspective of pre-creation, if another person is creation occurs, as they respect the one in between them, if one person is seeing it or hearing about it later and writing about it, those are different recorders of the same event. This is what the African is saying. I don't need the European. The European hides this text to protect the Western religions, even though I just showed you that their religion is based on Greek. Right? Remember that? That was so many hours ago, right? But this, they hide from you because this says that this is in the voice of the African. This one, this is nice for a lot of researchers. The Kiminal, like they like to say, the Akdad when they write it, who swam to their hometown, the island of flames, who created light within their primeval mound, who made their throne in Winwum or Hermopolis before their father, Sepsi. So this is similar to the one that I was looking for. So here we have the Kiminal. So you can read Metanetcha now, and then you have Mehe in Deme. I'm sorry, but you have this famous word, which is the IW-NSRSR. That is island of flames. Remember, there's a chemical reaction, and then you have light. The light is SW. That SW there. So can't you, Miss Blue? Can't you start reading Metanetcha without?
Oh, yeah.
It is exciting. It's like
it is. It's so exciting
that you can start reading it yourself. You can just feel what they're saying because these are our most sacred, intimate, delicate notes about creation. So let me go. Gotta hurry up. This is Lord of the Hay Gods, who support the gods, most primeval of the gods, elders of the primeval ones, builders of the builders, Renet of the Renetters, Canoon, who made the creative gods, and the Metanetcha is there. Importance about this is that the combining of the, the one god, just an aspect. So here's Canoon in here. They just, in this, they put in Canoon. And it says, it's on that line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, line 6, the Himenu ear, Himenu dot, that is the Canoon who made the creator gods. Yeah. And you see how close to the deity Canoon is to the Kiminu?
Yeah,
you see how close that is? All right, so that's that. That's that line, but you don't need me anymore to read this stuff for you. You can sit yourself. And then there's the bull of his mother, begetter of his father, who destroys Apophis, and then all that stuff. And he divine eyes, so he spits out the gods from his mouth. All of that is there in the transliterations of the glyphs. These are the sounds that the glyphs make. This one, Himenu, M-A-R, and There are people who speak Metanetsa very beautifully. I am butchering it. But this basically says the Kimenu is adoration in his Kanun Ray's beautiful face. He having begun his work in the initial moments. He is an August transfigured Ba with his head of Iran, his bones being silver, his flesh gold, and his hair is true Lapizula. So I am not doing any of this next glyph close to it is in the pyramid text. You see Nefertum mm-hmm. being born. You see on the bottom of it, you have the primordial ocean, Nununet, and you have something happening. Then you have the lotus occurring, and then you have Nefertum coming out. And then the pyramid text says, 249, the deceased king in the form of Nefertum, the lotus bloom, which is in the nose of red flames, I have come into the island of fire, the place where light is born and reborn in the cosmos, and from which the divine flame projects. I have set right Mot in it in the place of wrong. So that is why I was saying the isle of fire was so important. And all of this is the mothers and fathers who created light, who created the creator, who created life. And I put on this other page, I talk a little bit about Darius II, and I give some of the transliterations of that who rests upon Mod, who brightens the day and dispels darkness. You don't need me to do that anymore because you see the MX Ankh Heha, right? The Hey gods, the god of the child god, a living god of the Hey gods. And then you say Hetep here Mat, you know that means rest upon Mat. And then he writes the day and dispels darkness. And then I want to move on, and I just want to show you where the Hebrew stole this stuff from. Let's click over there to the work of footnote. Oh yeah, James K. Hoffmeer from Wheaton College. Some thoughts of Genesis and Egyptian cosmology. And then he starts to start talking about the Genesis. Because, you know, you remember, you got to go back to Hebrew. You can't be reading in English. You can't even be reading in Latin. You got to read it in Hebrew. And then you get the state of the Hebrew world. And you find these words that they describe as trackless waste, emptiness, chaos, darkness, obscurity. You see these words, and I'm going to flip back down and there's some more about darkness and obscurity. And then on this page, which is kind of like bluish, it says, is the primeval sea, the deep and real Rehua Elohim is the spirit of God, almighty wind. I don't care about all of that. What I really care about is the coffin text mentioning Nun, Hehu, Keku, and Amun, frequently called the chaos gods. And then underneath that is the Hebrew equivalent of the state of creation, aligning the Kimenu. So we ask where we get this from or where they get this from. This is no coincidence. You know, this is no coincidence, but if you are not a researcher and you don't follow the footnotes and you don't look, you're not going to. And I'm telling you, Miss Blue, and to your audience, I've been around. There's no scholar has shown people this. So let me see. There's a little bit more intellectual warfare. I do some stuff on the pyramid text to say, to show that people like to say, yeah, but Brother Reggie, you know, this is the Darius Temple, and you know, this is the Hebus Temple, and this is later with the Persians, and you know, this Nununet stuff and stuff like that. It's in the pyramid text and the coffin text, so we know that whether we have the text or not, we know that it's a combined document. Right? And again, you eight chaos gods who are in charge of the chambers of the sky, and we have the Metanetsa for that in the pyramid text. And the pyramid text is the oldest text
And we have another text there. We have it in the coffin text as well. Then I'm showing you the earliest picture of an ankh. And this ankh, do you see it? It's a circle. It's an ankh.
Yes.
Yes. Of fire. Okay. Guess where this is?
What?
Guess where this is? Guess, sister, guess.
In the Fanon text.
No. Guess again. Guess what part of Africa this is? Okay, I'm not gonna, this is in South Africa.
South Africa, okay.
South Africa. This is South Africa, minimum 15,000 years. Do you know that you can go to South Africa? South Africa has ancient symbols written in, I forgot the name, petroglyphs. And people walk on it, drive trucks on it. But there was humans, before there was a Kemet, there was South Africa. And somebody's going to come on your show and show you ancient South Africa from the air, where there are all these thousands of stones. And people don't know that South Africa 15,000 years ago went underwater, and the people moved. And that started the movement of people ultimately going to Ethiopia, Sudan, ultimately finding their way to Nata Playa, and then ultimately to Kemet, and Kemet became classical African civilization. But where their ancestors are from, people don't know that South Africa has natural pyramids. People don't know that the so-called the Hoos or the Sphinxes are in South Africa, that they were called. Horus Bird is all over in South Africa. You can put them in your pockets. You can put them in your pocket. They are around almost all of these little stone terraces. And I think I am finished. I think that the only thing is my very, very last picture is a ankh that's in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. But guess it is that ankh, that black ankh with that perfect, that is pre-dynasty. That's pre-dynastic. Mm. That ankh is pre-dynastic. It is perfect and it is dynastic. And it's in a pre-dynastic section. And you can look it up, and there's no explanation as to why that is so important. So I hope, I think, I think we finally did it. I think, you know, it's a lot of work trying to talk me into the show, trying to get me, my anxiety, and but I think I have filled some of the lines of my great teachers because we are in Nununet, and let me tell you about Nununet. Nununet is the primordial water, and it's described as, it has its hidden and unhidden. So what we see when we look out, we see what we call the visible. The invisible, we live within, they call it the atmosphere, but we live in a cloud that when I breathe in, my thoughts leave in my breath in this invisible cloud, and you breathe it in, and you breathe out, and it goes and it travels. Today we call it the phone, the internet. Well, universe is the same as the phone and the internet. An idea spreads through this cosmic connection, this cloud, and we are all one thing living in this planet Earth. And so, yes, we can project through different portals, time, and like I showed you before, the Kimenu is the creator of the creator, but the creator is the father of the ones who created them. There are portals. Our ancestors talked about that, and I think I am done at least on my comments. Okay.
Wow, Brother Reggie. Amazing share. And everyone in the chat room is just sending you love and thanking you for coming to give us this so very, very valuable gift that you shared with us here this evening. Definitely, as a researcher, as a speaker, to be able to present a portion of your life's work here is beautiful, truly divine. From the moment that I've seen the message, you know, to the moment that I made the call and just the connection from there, because it's definitely helped me to understand my work from a completely different angle and really just give a lot of substance and validation to what I knew in my heart to be true, especially when it comes to the records and just about everything when it comes to our people and when it comes to what we call, or I call, life as magic.
Thank you. All I can say is thank you. It's just that, like, young people, I'm not young anymore, but at times I was young. I'm 48 now. I remember coming into this and when I was in like 19, 18, and like I couldn't speak. Like, I couldn't speak for years. I mean, I just lost my voice. I could barely ask a question. I mean, imagine asking Dr. Ben a question in his heyday. It's like, you idiot, you fool. Read my 32 books. There was no, I mean, young people pretty much sat in the front as a, this is the illusion, but we really sat in the back. But for young people who can follow this and then, and you know, Ms. Blue, I'm a big critic of like we all make mistakes, but I'm a big critic of people who are kind of like zealots and who kind of like hold knowledge and kind of like wave in front of them and say you're not ready. I know who these people are. I told you I wouldn't mention their names. But they're people who are really dogmatic and they don't know anything, because if your audience says, "Oh, my teacher shared this," I'm like, no. And the point of it is that I'm not charging anything. Of course I can write a book, I can do a video, I can do all of that. But if our people can take any of these sacred texts that I just revealed and understand about the Big Bang Theory, quantum physics, infinity symbol, if they can do that, then if these are the vibrations, I share with you the vibrations of our ancients, their thoughts, so that they don't die. Forget us. So that they don't die. So if they don't die, we don't die. So I shared with you their intimate thoughts about creation, saying that these people knew the nature of God 5,000 years ago. And that is why the African has to understand that. The African has to understand that we have to cure the excuses that they give to war on us. We have to stop taking their gods, right? Because their gods are children to our natures. And we have to believe, because if we don't, they know the information. You see clearly, they have taken out the time to translate it. They just didn't think. They never thought that Brother Reggie was going to go around and retranslate the Torah.
Right.
Find it as Greek. They was hoping, please, them Negroes, they don't read. They're not going to do that. Just put these fancy Hebrew letters in front of them, and, you know, they're not going to dare translate Hebrew. Yeah. Hebrew, German, French. And for the rest of, and for the people coming after me, yeah.
We're gonna translate more. If you say that Joseph was in Egypt, Kemet, and married Asenath, and Asenath is not an Egyptian name, we're gonna do more than that. And don't be knocking on my door and saying, good evening, I got some good news for you. Come in my house, I got some good news for you. Can you read Hebrew? Because if you can't read Hebrew, you ain't got nothing to say to me. And I'm just trying to tell you the truth. So you can't read Hebrew. Yeah. What are you going to say? So, I'm just happy that somehow some portal opened up and
yeah.
you me an intimate moment with Dr. Ben. People
don't
know.
Yeah.
I brought Dr. Ben out to commune with the people. He is 95 years old. I don't care all these people talking about, yeah, I know Dr. Ben, this and that, and the third and stuff like that. I know. I was selected. I brought him out there through the hopes of a very important elder, Sister Kappa and Sister Latrella, to commune with people for probably one of the last times that he will be out in public, and definitely in another state.
Yeah.
So luckily there were hundreds of people that took pictures with him, snapped pictures with him. ASCAC is videotaped his award. Dr. Ben spoke for about 5 minutes.
Beautiful.
And so that was that. And so that was it. So what else is out? You have any questions or anything that?
Well, I tell you what, I definitely do want to see, because we're about to get ready to go into the after hours. And so 646-652-2711 is the number to call so that you can get on the phone line. For the rest of you guys, we'll be back Sunday night. We have a show Sunday night. You know Brother Panic is coming on. I want you to download, download, download. You know the drill. If you like the show, and I know you guys did, I'm getting your tweets, I'm getting your emails, I'm getting your messages on Facebook. I want you to like it. If you love it, I want you to love it and leave a message. Leave a message everywhere about everything on the show. Just leave a message about how you felt from the show. What did you take away? Tonight we uncovered Brother Reggie gave us an opportunity to see some texts that have been very, very sacred and guarded, ancient texts, some never before seen in the way that they were presented to you here, and some never seen at all, not that we have known of. And so this is a very exciting time. I don't know about you guys, but it literally has changed my life from the time that me and Reggie connected, and just from that special moment of speaking with Dr. Ben. And that was a divine exchange for me, and a divine exchange for Brother Reggie, and a portal open, and here we are at the REMIX, the remix. Isn't that something? R-E, you know, for Ray. We were talking about the soul of Ray.
That's, soul of Ray.
Mix is the chemistry, and this is why the remix is so powerful. And so I want to thank you guys who's not going to be with us in the after hours. Make sure you download the show. Email me. And, yes, I will be doing a show so I can share my part. But tonight it's all about Brother Reggie and allowing him to present this information. I got some stuff to tell you guys that opened up for me and just what I've discovered from the text that Brother Reggie shared with me that now you guys have access to as well. And, yeah, lots of more magic to come. So, Brother Reggie, everyone is sending you love from all over the world. And some people said they're not going to sleep tonight. They're going to be up all night. Beautiful.
You caught me on a. What can I say? Because I'm very critical on our. I'm very critical, and I think the young people are. And I act like I'm young, but we live in the here and now, right? And you got to show proof. And you just can't be talking and then talking in English. Our children are multi-dimensional, multi-talented, and if you're talking and you stop and just say, if you can't show them where it is, then you have to move up with the lazy scholarship. You got to show them in the text. If you show them in the comedic text, you can make them change their God concept. You can't show them in the text. Then you can't do nothing with them because they don't believe you. They don't trust you. But if you can show them, and we don't just do meta nature. You know, if we have to look at Sanskrit, if we have to look at the people of Mesopotamia, read the Gilgamesh. We've done that. I don't bring that up because we've looked at those scripts. Those will. We look when they say, oh, what about the language of Sumer and Mesopotamia, and then later to Gilgamesh, and then oh, the Ankh was there. We've read those scripts. It's not like we don't read them. We say, you know what? Check this out. They ain't saying much. I hear what you're saying, but okay, let's talk about the script because they're not talking about life now. They're talking about trying to survive. they talking about life in Mesopotamia. They catching hell over there. It's not the Fertile Nile over there. They're warring. There's a lot of rape and interbreeding. They're destroying whole villages. They're enslaving people. There is nothing about classical civilization in Mesopotamia. They ain't happening.
Right. Oh, wow. Beautiful, beautiful. I just want to say peace and love to everyone out there. We're already in the after hours. Much love, warm spirit. Much love to the ancestors as we continue in the after hours. And a shout out to just everyone that's a part of this connection. Brother Reggie, yourself, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Dr. Ben, Elder Haru, and all of you guys out there listening that shared in this very, very divine moment here. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It truly is. We're going to take some questions. So you guys have questions for Brother Reggie, comments about the show that you would love to share, 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 once you get on the phone line, and we're going to go to the phone lines. You ready, Brother Reggie?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so let's go to the phone line. All right, calling in from area code 908. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Greetings, this is Key from New Jersey.
Greetings to you. Greetings.
Hotep, I wanted to know, what is the difference between the Metaneter language and the Nuwapik language?
Dr. York, he is a scholar. He basically has his own insight when he was free and clear, he had his own interpretation of ancient Kemet, and I think that his work started about 15-20 years ago. It's more authentic. So, people could translate some of the glyphs a little bit differently, but I respect who the Nuwabians are, but we're just talking about Dr. York was pretty much the leader. And he definitely has some good students, but how can I say, they all point to him. So,
okay, it's not like the out, because I'm under the impression it's the first language of ancient Kemet.
Let me ask you a question, sister, because you called in and the question was for Brother Reggie.
Right.
So do you have your answer, or were you interested in hearing what Brother Reggie had to say?
Yeah, I could talk a little bit more. It's for example, okay, so taking what you said, that the Nubian language was the first language. Okay, so then I need to see the text. I actually have to now see the text. So now in ancient Kemet, there's, you know, proto Metanetra, and that's in what you call Nagata. Those are in somewhere where in kind of like close to Nubia, but this is where Kemet was actually created or unified with Namhor. So we know there is proto Metanetra, but it's proto Metanetra. Now, moving forward, you have what you have largely from the pyramid text. Pyramid text is probably of the earliest age, some of the kind of like most prolific language, where, you know, Old Kingdom, Metanetra. So I would have to see what particular text that you are talking about. I mean, I understand being under the impression, but if there is some book that you want me to write down, that you want me to look up or something, but if it's a book that I can get access to, but if it's in a religious domain of like Nubians, I probably, you know, and if Dr. York wrote it himself, that's his own kind of communing with the ancestors. I'm not going to deal with that. I'm going to respect the
right.
I'm not going to deal with that, but I'm going to say that that's a teacher type of thing. That's his own.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Peace and blessings to you and your lovely baby there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 505. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, Blue, this is Dar. Sochal Ra.
Greetings to you.
Hotep. Hotep, brother. So my question to you was about, when I first, because I got in late, you were starting to speak a little about Akhenaten and Akhenaten's reign. And for some reason, that particular, the 18th or Amarna dynasty has been real interesting to me, because something happened there. I have no idea, and that's what the question is. Basically, I was wondering if you had any idea what happened during his reign. There seems to have been a lot of outside influence from outside of Kemet that was bearing on removing him and also murdering him, basically, to get him out of office because he had gone back to the old ways. Do you know anything about the history of that, or what actually happened to Akhenaten? Because the other thing they did is that they may have moved the timeline of the 18th dynasty as much as 500 years. So do you have any information on that?
Well, just generally. Okay, so you came in a little late, and I was talking about that, and I only talked about really that shortly. Yes, there were some outside influences. And yes, it was the Amarna Revolution. But it began with his, father, Amenhotep III, and basically trying to move the religious centers away from the priests that he had thought being running the empire or running Kemet. And so it actually started with his father. Aten, the whole Aten stuff seems to have started with his father, and then it further developed with him. So it became a revolution of sorts of basically these deities are not working. These priests are controlling these deities, and we're going to move away. Now the outside influences I see more with his wife when I see her writing letters, but I don't and yes, outside influences. So I'm going to be short to say that I don't know, my work doesn't really center around that. It's interesting because the Europeans make it interesting because they are the ones who are saying Akhenaten is the one god, but they do that to diminish
right.
ancient Kemet, and so I don't think that their hearts are pure when they talk about Akhenaten. It was really a short period. He was a young man, and basically he did a lot of damage. He didn't return to the old ways. What he did was he destroyed the old ways. He made Kemet bury the text and put it underground so that it wouldn't be destroyed, because he actually went down and defaced the temples and put up Aten over some of Ptah and Re and some of the other ones. I'm hoping that...
Yeah.
No, that helps, because what's interesting to me is that all of the you know, the likenesses of who Akhenaten is,
yeah,
very tall, very insect looking type beings, and that's part of the reason I was asking those questions, because around his dynasty there seems to have been some kind of influence that may have been, I'm not going to say extraterrestrial, extraplanetary, but definitely a different sort of a different type of being.
What he did was, there's a couple of things that happened in the Akhenaten dynasty. One is that he decided to draw people of Kemet like they looked. There was before him, there was kind of like a mold that you have of ancient Kemet.
Yeah.
He actually started drawing his family, or having his family drawn as they looked. So you actually are human type. Now, the way he looked, and he does definitely look a little disfigured. Yes, that part is true. About extraterrestrials and stuff like that. Well, you know, look, it's just one of those type of things. It's like, well, okay, if it was in his time, it was a short period that they were, you know, that they visited Earth. If that's the case, I'm just saying that because you brought it up. But the fact of the matter is, he did something with Kemet differently. He started drawing toes, hair. He started making them look that in ancient dynasty changed. Otherwise, it was pretty much kind of like these kind of like block. Everybody looked the same. The Metanetra was all written. And the other thing that he did was he stopped using limestone. There was this guy, remember I was doing the Greek thing, and I said there was this dude, Amenophis, Hapu Amenophis. Well, he did what Imhotep did. He found out how to make the Arikat clay. So he started... he got rid of the limestone. He outlawed limestone, and they started writing on this kind of like this very hard granite that we think was kind of like a paste, the same paste that made the pyramids, the same paste that created the temples of Memnon, right?
Uh-huh.
These things, and so he did a lot of different things, but the Europeans are very interested in him because of his so-called one god, but we have the text to say that ancient Kemet people knew that there was always one god, but they like to play with Akhenaten because they think we don't read.
Very good, very interesting. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I hope what I said helps.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Most definitely. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 786. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 786. They must be away from the phone. Next, we have a caller calling in from private number. Greetings.
Hello, hello.
Yes, greetings. Who's on the line, please? Greetings. Okay, they must not be on the line. Well, I'll tell you what. Great discussion going on here. Lots of great questions and so much powerful information, Brother Reggie, that you've shared with us here tonight. And you're going to leave the document up. I want to make sure that everyone who is listening to the show gets an opportunity to make sure that they get a chance to see your presentation that you've put together for us, PDF, that really just covers everything that you've done, detailed step by step by step, as you have unveiled this for us here. So can you let everyone know where they need to go?
Yeah, it's www.secretoftheankh.com/blue.pdf. And I'm probably going to take it down tomorrow because it's my own private work.
Right.
And but if they want to look for me in a whirlwind, they can search. They can Google Ankh. I'm on the first page of Google. When you, there's a video of me and my work is Secret of the Ankh, and that's where they can pretty much find me, or you know at least see some of my work post the show, but. This show, I really gave a lot of stuff that I wouldn't normally give, especially my primary research, because, you know, people, once you give people stuff, it's like, oh, yeah, they didn't have to do the hard work. And they're
right.
Like, oh. And, but some of the stuff that I gave, especially the Famine Stella text, is priceless. It is a
yes,
document
it is.
To... dreams, it speaks to secret society, it speaks to so much, and so it's a very important, well, all my documents that I gave were treasures and hard to get. Every person who found those documents, translated those documents, they did it for their own reasons, but they know the power of those particular documents.
Yes. Well, it has definitely been very, very powerful for myself and life-changing. And, you know, this is just another stepping stone into the souls of Ray. And so I just want to thank you again and let you know anytime you want to come back on the remix. I know this isn't primarily what you do. You're a researcher, but know that this platform is here for you. I'm very thankful for our divine connection and just all the information that you have here. Most of the people are telling me that they're still studying this document. They're going back over this, and they can't wait to download the show. And they are loving it so much, so much. So, Brother Reggie, peace and love to you. And thank you so much for joining us here live in the remix.
Thank you so much, and to your audience, thanks for having me, and I am humbled, and I know I can sound a little abrupt sometimes, but, you know, it's just, it's difficult work. You have lots of people who want to go another direction, who say to you, oh, you haven't taken this oath, you're not part of this system, who are you to talk about, you know, who we are, or who we think we are, and or talk about our spirituality and say we don't know, and just because you have a few documents. But I'm just trying to say is that we have to finish the vibrations of our ancestors, We have a responsibility to put it out no matter who our teachers are. And for the people who've taken oaths, and there's lots of people who take oaths, and I understand that. It's just I have not taken the oath not to reveal any information, and I think they're populist. There's some things that I should have, and people are upset with me. This thing with translating Hebrew and finding that it's Greek. I don't know if you know, but that is that's really, really devastating. To not saying that the Holy Torah doesn't say what it says, but they shouldn't use Pharaoh, and they shouldn't use On, and they shouldn't use Aphanas Panea. And so, and people get really upset with me on things like that, you know. So the problem with being a researcher is that it's also, you know, there are people who are fanatical. You know, there are people who, you know, just, you know, that you are damaging what they believe in. They really believe in tribes of Judah, and I can't. That's their belief, and I respect their beliefs. I don't respect their beliefs. I'm just saying that this document, these are Greek words, and so these are Greek words, and that's what I'm saying. But I'm not respecting your beliefs. They're just not my beliefs.
Right.
And I'm just saying that we have to be able to kind of come together as a people, and remember Mat Kare, right?
Yes.
It's truth records, and that is a female, and it's Hatshepsut, and it is truth in the records. If the records speak the truth, then raise it high, and that's what we're talking about. So thank you so much, Ms. Blue, and it's been an incredible journey.
Yes.
Inviting me again on your show and having me meet. Your guest on the remix, and I'm glad that I haven't had any bad comments. I feel loved, and so I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, it is. It is a beautiful thing. And again, blessings to you, and thank you so much for coming on the forum tonight. It's been amazing, you guys. Don't forget to go back and download. Origin is here. Some of you I will see tomorrow in the Kim Business class. Some of you I will see in the readings. And some of you I will be connecting on Facebook and Twitter. And I just want to send love out to everyone, and love to all of our ancestors and everyone out there. So peace and love. Love somebody. See you guys on Sunday night right here back in the remix. You know what we do. And much love, warm spirit. Peace.
Good night.
Good night.